And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman & Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday, January 24th, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. With me in studio is my son, co-host Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman & Hagman Report, and we can be found on the internet at our home base at HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. It's the home of the Northeast Intelligence Network and the Hagman & Hagman Report. I want to welcome each and every one of you tonight. I want to thank you very much for tuning in, for listening. Got a lot of news to cover tonight, but before we get into that, Joe, welcome.
Glad to be here. Just before the show, about 10 minutes, we had a power failure.
Yet another one. Yet another power failure.
A complete power failure. All the power shut off and then
kicked back on
a little bit.
Yeah, and didn't have to really worry too much about the backup power or anything like that. It was nice because we had a dry run. What was it, 2 weeks ago? Dry run, I should say, a hot run, a couple of weeks ago. But
yeah, and for those that don't know, we've been in the getting hit with tons and tons of snow.
We're up
and
in
today
yeah.
was like the first day we didn't really get any. It was sunny, and I'm gonna say it's warm. It was like 16 degrees, but it was like 25 degrees warmer than it's been like the last 4 days. So it seemed like it was almost 50 degrees when I went outside and I looked at the temperature. I couldn't believe how cold it was and how warm it felt.
It's funny how you get used to things. That things are relative. It's after about a week of sub-zero temperatures, then you go out and it's 15 degrees and it feels like it's 50.
Yeah.
It's not right.
No.
But anyway, we've got a lot of news to cover. Once again, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. We just in tremendous numbers on our program. So many listeners in so many countries and so many listeners. Even last night's show was an excellent show, I thought, with respect to the genetic Armageddon aspect of things, which were rather interesting. You know, it was really interesting when you consider what's behind, behind the Luciferian agenda, which I was really not real comfortable using that, thinking, well, that's really that's out there.
Right. But now with what we see in the news every day and what we see going on in the world, how can you not see that?
No, oh, exactly.
You know?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and now I'm thinking, okay, it is Luciferian, satanic, and of course these people are concerned about their bloodlines and they feel that they're going to be the rightful heirs to the earth, and they're going to take ownership over the earth and all of its stock. And we, as the uninitiated, unwashed, are going to be the worker bees until we're no longer needed. And bang, you know. So
right, there's actually an interesting article on the 30 population control quotes that show that the elite truly believe that humans are a plague upon the earth. And we can go through some of those as they are important to listen to, coming from some of the heads of state, heads of the Supreme Court, the legislative branch, the executive branch, the international community, to heads of TV, and so on. So
I never really thought that would be right. Seriously, folks. Did you really ever think, and maybe you have, maybe you're way far ahead in terms of learning than I've been, but I never really considered, I never really thought that people actually thought like this, normally like this. In other words, I don't know. I just, to me, that's much like a serial killer would think, you know.
It's a slap in the face when you really understand what's going on, and not that we or I have that understanding fully either, but we can see what is happening. We can see the influences behind the powers. We can see the shape and the direction we're headed in, and how it is controlled. And when we look at history, when we look at how, from their own documents, these globalists, these Satanists have designed the plan to engineer society in this direction. And where do we go from here? What do we, can we expect from here?
Yeah.
This is what we need to be focused on. And more importantly, I think our answers will come from prayer and from the word of the Lord and what's in the Bible as more and more things line up with Scripture.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I just caught the microphone here on my shirt. I apologize.
I hear wind.
Yeah, I do too. It's almost like there's like where we're...
There we go. Thanks for that, Troy. Thank you.
Either that or... yeah, it was almost like we were outside, in a camp. But all right, we've got a lot of news to cover. One of the things I just want to mention first, Joe, is for crying out loud, okay, what are these people thinking? What is Dianne Feinstein thinking? What are these people thinking that they can that they're just going to come in here? They're going to come in and take our guns, or they're going to introduce legislation.
Well, let's first address this. Miss Dianne Feinstein,
yes,
comes in using Christianity.
Yes.
Not because it's what she believes or practices, from what I understand, but...
No, it doesn't matter. But it's
her quote. But I believe the gun lobby is no match for the cross lobby.
Right.
And that wasn't her quote. That was the pastor.
Well,
she
brings in that the priest, Pastor Paul.
Canon Gary Hall to offer a prayer.
All right. Yeah.
Paul spoke briefly before the prayer, calling for Washington lawmakers to stop fearing the gun lobby and fulfill their moral duty to restrict guns.
Now, I've got a really huge, and I mean a huge problem with that.
Hall said that he could no longer justify a society that ordinary citizen is able to keep and bear arms and assault weapons, or after that, in parentheses. Leave. Go to a gun-free country. Go to North Korea if you don't like it here, if you love communism so much. And everybody, says that. Well, why don't you leave? Because the plan is to destroy America and turn it into a North Korea-like system. That's why they won't leave.
That's right. It's not to transform America. It's to destroy it. And we always talk about the symbolism, Phoenix rising out of the ashes. Well, that's of course, what they want to do. They want to take America. They want to destroy America, and then reopen America under the banner of this one world order system based in communism. All right. Which, yes, there are different parts to it, but we're going to be part of a 10 trade zone world. That's what we're going to be part of.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one globe, 10 trade zones. We're going to be part of it. We're not going to be the United States of America anymore. It's going to be autonomous trade zones here in the United States, and like we'll be in trade zone 5 or whatever.
Did you see what John Kerry said today?
No, I did not.
Well, giving a speech on American foreign policy, and first he said, our foreign policy is not defined by drones. And he also came out and said that he was going to help implement and fulfill, I will implement President Obama's vision for the world, not for the United States, not for the people of the United States. He's not saying I will implement, the vision of the United States, or I will help the people, further their vision to better the United States. No, I will implement President Obama's vision for the world. Well, what is his vision for the world? Well, we got to look at the people behind him, the Brzezinskis, the Soroses. We can see the lines have already been drawn. We know who their enemies are, Christians, gun owners, many others who advocate freedom. They're labeled as anti-federalist. They're labeled as right-wing violent extremists. They're labeled as white supremacists. Just about everything except who the real threats are, and that is within our government.
you know, you got to wonder who this guy is. Obama, obviously.
And you know, I've been going through thinking about this, Obama. He's the face of this. But no matter who is in office right now, the same agendas would be being carried out. It might have been a little bit slower because
right.
of the acceptance of Obama in the beginning and getting away from how Bush was so bad. I mean, his presidency was awful. The torture, the everything that he did.
Well, wait a
but
second.
Then
it's
Obama comes
okay
in.
Okay, under Obama.
Wait. You're right. And then he increases all this stuff.
Right.
But they stay quiet because if you speak out against him, you're racist. And
well,
if you oppose him, you're
this
racist.
This should have been nipped in the bud back in the Bush days. This Department of Homeland Security should have been nipped in the bud. You know, really, and I know that people, great people, were out speaking out back then and saying this is not going to turn out well. And, you know, in fact, Steve Quayle was one of them saying, they can't do this. You know, you don't understand what they're doing. And I remember arguing with Steve, come on, Steve, no, you know, come on. We need this. And Steve saying, no, Doug, you know, sit down. Let me explain this to you. And I say, no, I don't have to explain anything to me. I know, you know, yeah. That's why I mentally wrestled with the guy and verbally wrestled with him and said, you know, and told him he was nuts and,
yeah,
and we'd have very spirited conversations. Always in the spirit of, you know, friendship, but very spirited. And he said, someday you'll understand. And he was very patient with me. And then he came out and said, then one day when I was, I don't know, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I was like, holy cow, yeah, I understand this. But you folks know this. But you know, that's why we all have to be patient with everyone, because people will catch up to you where you're at. If you're listening to the show right now, and I was talking to, well, folks, I'll tell you this. He's a very well-connected intelligence insider. And I was talking to him, and he said, your audience, listening to your audience, watching the chat room, listening to the callers, your audience is just a lot further advanced,
mm-hmm.
mentally and spiritually, and this guy's a solid Christian. And
I mean, not everybody agrees on all issues, and you know, there's lots of debate, and that's fine.
Yeah,
like we say, everybody goes through different stages and ways of growing. But that's one thing about I know about our audience is they are ones seeking information and wisdom from the Lord. They are growing spiritually first before trying to gain knowledge of things that aren't important.
Exactly. And, you know, he mentioned even compared to like an audience of George Norrie, George Norrie might have the numbers, you know, the gazillions who listen to him, all right? But the people, the core audience, we'll say of a coast to coast, that really know where they're at spiritually, where they're at mentally, and where things are at in general. I mean, our audience is more well-rounded. And I thought, well, what a great, yeah, you know, I just wish I could have recorded that conversation so everyone can hear, because I think it's a great testament to where you're at and to our audience. But so you're going to be serving some purpose. You were born for this time in history. Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to take care of yourself. Marianne, you got to take care of yourself. Sue and others, you got to take care of yourself. And Ron, and I can name 100 people. You got to take care of yourself, because we need you around, because you've got a position to play. You've got a very important job to do. You might not know what it is.
Right. Yeah, some of us don't know what we're here for yet or why we're doing things we're doing. It hasn't been made aware to us. But one thing we do know, I've been reading the Bible today a lot, and the one thing I keeps coming, repeating itself, is have patience and last through these tribulations. Don't waver in your faith. Don't waver in your commitment to the Lord, and you'll be okay.
That's exactly right, and that's one thing that we try to do is we try to merge, if you will. The current events with through the lens of scripture, and at least have that balance. And you're right, we've got to keep keep grounded in the scripture too, because if not, you just, what do you have? You just have a bunch of words.
No, I see people who are losing their sanity over the lack, I mean, people, smart people, who aren't religious-based, who aren't Christians, who don't seek the word of the Lord on a daily basis, or even, I mean, I know, that are really losing it, like with frustration, with being overwhelmed, not knowing what to do, being really mentally lost because they see what's going on around them and they don't know how to fix it or how to make it better for themselves or others. And, you know.
Well, it's, you know, that's something that I probably, you know, 5-10 years ago, I probably would be in the same boat. Maybe not totally losing my mind, but you've got to, I think that the information out there is so heavy. The news is so heavy. The topics, when you start talking about what are you going to do when they come for your guns, when you start talking about things like that, or the possibility of being a felon because of a law, because you're not going to capitulate to an unconstitutional law, now it's like, okay, it's here. The day is here. Not 100% here yet, but it looks like it's coming. And
no, people feel it.
Wow, that's a heavy, really heavy. But I'll tell you something.
There's some good news to report today, though.
Yeah, let's do that first. Go ahead.
We have first off, I'm going to Utah sheriffs are warning Obama of a deadly war over guns, in the most strictest warning over guns to President Obama yet. The Utah Sheriffs Association is pledging to go to war over any administration plan to take guns away, even if it means losing their lives.
That's kind of a weird good news thing, isn't it?
Well,
we're going to go to war, but you know what?
No, this is the good news. The calling the Second Amendment a sacred right of citizens to protect themselves from tyrannical subjugation, the association state elected sheriffs in a new letter said, "We are prepared to trade our lives for the preservation of its traditional interpretation," speaking about the Second Amendment. It goes on to say there is the first meaningful proof that some in law enforcement and the military are preparing to fight federal forces if the president wins his goal of sweeping gun control. And it goes on to say, the sheriffs wrote, "Make no mistake, as the duty elected as sheriffs to our respective counties, we will enforce the rights guaranteed to our citizens by the Constitution. No federal official will be permitted to descend upon our constituents and take from them what the Bill of Rights, and particularly the Second Amendment, has given them." And also, another article, number of sheriffs refusing to enforce unconstitutional gun laws snowballs. From Florida to California, a growing number of the national sheriffs are standing up to the gun control measures proposed by both the administration and Dianne Feinstein. Many law enforcement officials have written letters to President Obama, Vice President Biden, voicing their concerns over what they believe is an effort to infringe upon the Second Amendment. In New Mexico, 30 of the 33 county sheriffs have reminded state lawmakers they are under oath to support the Constitution,
yep,
which includes the Second Amendment. 28 of the 29 sheriffs in Utah said a letter, which we just went over. A host of Oregon sheriffs said that they will not comply with any new unconstitutional gun regulations. And they go through a list of other quotes about by these sheriffs, and they range from arresting federal officials who try to implement this to defending with their life against any federal officials who try to enforce these gun laws. In California, Sheriff Adam Christensen of Stanislaus County wrote to the vice president, "I refuse to take firearms from law-abiding citizens and will not turn law-abiding citizens into criminals by enforcing useless gun control legislations." In Missouri, the letter to the president said, "I will rise to the defense and aid of all Americans should the federal government attempt to enact any legislation or executive order that impedes, erodes, or otherwise diminishes our constitutional rights to keep and bear arms." A town hall meeting in Jackson County, Kentucky told citizens, "You're never going to pull a gun from Jackson County." Texas, Florida, and a whole list of other sheriffs are doing the same thing and standing up against these regulations.
Well,
The other side of that, I have uploaded the audio of a mayor of New Jersey. Now,
The Cory Booker thing.
Yeah. And
folks, have you seen this?
I'm going to play it right now, and it's about 12 seconds. It's where he starts talking.
Obviously, this plays in New Jersey, not anywhere else. So the residents of New Jersey listening to this program. Yeah.
Listen to this.
Hi, I'm Mayor Cory Booker, and I, like so many in our city, are just saying enough. We have had a significant reduction in shootings in our city, but it is still too many. There are a small group of people in our city that think they can walk around with guns. It is unacceptable. But we can't just wish this will stop. We can't just hope this will stop. We as individuals have to do something about it. So we have a program in our city right now that's completely anonymous, and we will give you cash, $1,000, to anyone who calls our anonymous tip line. Give us the information about who is carrying a gun. If we don't even have to have a conviction, we arrest that individual and simply get that gun off the streets. You call back, get your second group of digits, go to a bank or send somebody to a bank, and they will give you $1,000 in cash, no question asked. This is the best program in the country. A quick $1,000. If you know somebody carrying an illegal gun, give us the information and get the money. $1,000. We cannot afford to have one more person in our city shot. We cannot afford to have one more such crime happen to devastate families, to rip the fabric of our community. I won't accept it. We're getting so much better in driving the rate of shootings down in our city. But now I'm offering you $1,000 for a little bit of information to help us keep our city and our communities even more safe. Step up. Stand up. Let's get these guns off our street. $1,000. Thank you.
$1,000 to tell on your neighbor.
Boy, I'll tell you.
Legal or not.
If that does not frighten people,
and
I don't know.
The person who files the complaint doesn't even have to be the person that picks up the money. Where is this money coming from? First of all. Second of all, they being the police in that county, the city council in that county, should remove the mayor of his duties immediately.
Well, I don't think he's right. I don't think at this point he's done anything wrong.
Well, he's following suit with Janet Napolitano's See Something, Say Something program that is expanding with these new gun control. And I think he has just announced pretty much what we are expecting to see from the Department of Homeland Security on a much grander scale. If you see somebody you know shouldn't have a gun or are not sure if they should or not, call Department of Homeland Security.
It's even worse than that. If you know someone or suspect someone has a gun, owns a firearm. And now think about this. Let's just go on a limb here and think, okay, the gun ban or the gun confiscation ban, whatever you want to call it, a la Feinstein, passes. And we're going to talk about that a little bit because there are some issues with that folks, you know, you're going to have to help me out with a little bit because something not right here. But anyway, let's say that does pass. And it's projected, by the way, that 70% are not going to comply. 70% of Americans.
It should be higher.
Okay, it should be much higher, but that's the latest figure I saw. 70% of Americans won't comply. So you're going to have, we'll say 30%, or maybe more, but we'll say a hard 30% of the population that will turn in their neighbor for a loaf of bread or cheese, or in this case, $1,000. So imagine yourself talking to a neighbor and, you know, just just showing your neighbor your guns. And say, he's saying something like, "Well, you know, if you run into any problems, look, let's hook up, and you know, we'll hang together and make sure we'll do whatever we need to do." And your neighbor runs into some financial trouble. Obviously, you see where this is going, and pretty soon the knock comes on your door. Well, what are you going to do? And of course, you're not going to be told that it's your neighbor. You're not going to know where it's coming from. In fact, the tip can be totally anonymous, you're just given a series of numbers, and then another set of numbers once the tip is proven valid. And then the two numbers match up, or the two numbers are put together, and then you present that string of numbers or both sets to a bank teller and get your money. That's where this is going.
Now, go ahead. Person in our chat room, News Elite Live, made a good point. And to think it's only 30 pieces of silver for turning it in. Well, that's a very accurate statement, because about 30 silver coins is almost roughly about, what?
Well, yeah, it's about
$1,000.
Yeah. You know, wow. Yeah, 30
so read what you want into that. I mean, but that is true. Silver being priced about $31,
$32. The spot price. You know, that's all right. So that's something that, but there's something about this Feinstein draft I want to ask you people, our listeners, about. But before I do, I just want to read this from one of our listeners. I'll just use her first name, Lori, or Laura. Laura, thank you for this, by the way. She writes that she's specifically been sensing from the spirit divine health for his people. There is much power in agreement. So if you can agree with this, amen. Quoting, and then she quotes Luke chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks shall receive, and then he that seeketh shall find, and to him that is knocked, the door shall be open. Our Father says to us, shall be, amen. How can we doubt him, especially in times such as these? And I received this in my email box today, and believe that the Lord would have me share this with you. Be encouraged as you walk boldly in the truth. And then there's a quote here from John 16:33, how on earth, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. And then the text of the email is this. True victory is not found in escaping and evading trials, but in rightly meeting and enduring them.
And persevering through them.
Yeah, and she writes, the question should not be, how can I get out of these worries? How can I get into a place of hiding or a place where there should be no irritations, nothing to try my temper, or to put my patience to the test? How can I avoid the troubles which continually harass me? There is nothing noble in such living. The soldier who flees when the battle approaches is no hero. He's a coward. So the questions should rather be, how can I pass through these trying experiences and not fail as a Christian? How can I endure these struggles and not suffer defeat? How can I live amid these provocations, these reproaches and testings of my temper, and yet live sweetly, not speaking unadvisedly, bearing injuries meekly, returning gentle answers to insulting words? He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And that quotes Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Laura, I want to thank you very much for that well-needed piece of encouragement and the push toward the real issues here. And the real issues, of course, is weathering the storm and passing through these trying experiences without failing as a true Christian. And that's something that we have to do. And you speak about this more than I do, Joe, about that very topic, about, you know, putting your faith first, and that's, but I just the way that when I opened the email and I read it and then I reread it, and I thought, wow, that's pretty powerful if you think about it. You know, it's, we shouldn't be looking for an escape hatch. We should be looking just to pass through these trying experiences without failing as a Christian. And Laura, thank you so much for sending that.
Yeah, and just to back that up with some scripture, reading out of Galatians, it talks about, But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not be consumed with one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. But if you are, but if ye be led to the Spirit, or of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And it talks about the perseverance and walking in faith and meekness and having patience, being able to be spiritual above the flesh.
Right.
And that's where we need to get to as individuals. And that's the only hope I have for this country, and we talk about that a lot, that individual people can be saved. Our country, in my belief, in my spirit, in my gut, it's gone. And it, maybe it still has the name America, but it's not the America that was founded on the principles of Christianity.
But what are we fighting for then? We're fighting for...
We're fighting for Christ. And to share his word, where we see that as becoming illegal. Impossible.
We're not trying to fight. We're not fighting for the right for abortions. We're not fighting for the right. You know, we're not fighting for the America that embraces abortion as a
I would refuse
product. Okay,
to fight for a country who kills children with drones, has a kill list, violates every law that they are sworn an oath to uphold. That violates the rights of citizens, that dehumanizes them, that oppresses them, that socially engineers right. them to be bad people. I mean, if you're not, you know, spiritually minded, or you don't have a change of heart, or you're not, you don't have that hit rock bottom where you know, that humbles you, sadly, you're going to walk, we see so many of our family and neighbors, just, you know, doing the everyday thing, thinking everything's normal, partying, living it up, being immoral. You know, we see so many people commit adultery, have abortions, things that are and were considered, you know, horrendous until it became normalized. And that is the problem. Now it's normal. Now it's what they teach the kids in the government indoctrination centers called public schools.
That's right.
So
that's exactly right.
An uphill battle that we're fighting that we can't win. On the side of saving our country, and we can disagree on, you know, with that, and some people do, and that's fine. But I just have reached a point where I know, well, this nation is gone, and it's going to be judged. And
you see, we can bring it back, okay, in a full reset scenario. I have no doubt in my mind that the true Christian loving patriots could bring it back in the manner, in the same way it was.
If it's God's will,
but of course.
Does he want us to suffer? No. He wants us to repent.
Right. Let's not go out in tangents here. I just wanted to say this. I believe that if we Christian loving patriots went out to fight for our country, and if it got to the point where, you know, everyone was talking about a civil war or a revolution, we could take back our country and reestablish it as a constitutional republic as our forefathers intended, with the proper repentance and the proper spirit. You know, I believe that that's worth fighting for, because that idea, 230 some years ago. That's worth fighting for.
Yeah. I mean, what we're seeing is these satanic, technocratic Nazis just blanket us with a surveillance control grid, and we see that increasing with things we're talking about, with like the LED light data transmissions, the towers, and the different ways that they listen and infiltrate us. It's an all-encompassing, seems to be omnipresent surveillance system, and we are supposed to have privacy, but
right.
our elected officials and us not paying full attention, they have sold us down the river. We have not held up our obligation to keep them accountable, and what we are seeing is just this huge police state closing in around us. We have drones in our own skies. They're asking the CIA the head of the CIA, when can you kill Americans with drone strikes? That's coming from a senator.
Yeah, that's right.
At the same time, we have Obama closing air defense systems, and we have now North Korea threatening to launch a nuclear strike against America, I'm not worried about that at all. I did some research today. Went through a lot of old headlines, a lot of old papers we have laying around, and from last year and 2 years ago. And what I see is a lot of repetition in things, such as,
North Korea is going to.
This country is going to launch a nuclear strike. This country is going to do this. This country is going to do that, which never seems to come to pass. I'm not saying it won't one day, but we see a whole lot of fear mongering going on. We see a whole lot of things being thrown around that need to be talked about, but might not be important because they might just, as we say, we feel there's something else much greater in scale going on behind the scenes while they're blasting us with all this news that seems so important right now.
Which brings me, this brings me to my ultimate question here concerning this Feinstein. Everyone's talking about this gun legislation now.
Right.
The Feinstein. And folks, I don't know whether you're familiar with it, whether you read it, whether you went over this, but it essentially goes against all weapons. I mean, unless you've got a cap gun.
Yeah, they are considering,
and even then, that's a question.
They are saying that handguns are assault weapons. Shotguns are assault weapons.
That's right.
They're calling them military-style semi-automatic assault weapons.
No. Here's my, people who are listening right now, maybe you can help me, because here's what I've been really grappling with. You've got Feinstein coming out with this bill. Chances are it's not going to pass. It's written so broadly that it's absolutely inconceivable that it would pass in its current form.
Do we have a number of the bill? That's one thing I haven't seen.
You know what? I don't have it handy here.
Maybe if people in chat, if you guys do know off the top of your head,
I've
what
got
the bill number is.
That's like about 27 pages ago, and I'm not sure. But, okay, so you've got this bill that chances are it's not going to see the light of day, that's receiving a lot of attention, and rightfully so, because it's a bad bill, and it takes away it strikes at the very heart of the Second Amendment. My question is this. Because of its dim chances of failure, or dim chances of passage, why did she present this bill? That's number one. And number two, why did she present this bill if she believes, or if it's everyone believes that it has no chance of passage?
Right.
Okay.
That's a good question.
But there's something not right about this.
The second part of that's a good question. The first part, she has been one of the biggest anti-gun politicians since she's been
right.
in office. So.
But we all know that. But
she's the perfect face for launching this.
And that I understand. But why is everyone, if everyone says, look, it's not, it really has no chance of passing, and even some of the Democrats, Harry Reid, I don't even think is going to allow this.
Not if he wants to keep his getting reelected in his state in Nevada.
We're beyond reelection at this point. But the fact is, why are so many people directing our attention to this bill if it's not going anywhere? I don't understand it. And maybe I'm not expressing myself correctly, but to me, what are we missing here? Is there is this just to condition us? And I understand if it is, okay, I can accept that, but we're conditioned already by the talk. Is there something else about this bill? Or is there another bill? Or is there what's going on here? Why are we being, if this has no chance, then why all the print space? Why all the
time?
Attention.
Yeah. Well, there could be several reasons for that. One being piggybacking off the tragedy at Sandy Hook, playing off the emotions of the people, the opportunity never let a good crisis go to waste. And I've never seen so many people, whether it be people in the media, actors, singers, celebrities, whatever you want to call them, idiots, come out in favor of this, supporting this. Well, they themselves have armed bodyguards. Well, they themselves, in some cases, know what gun-free zones are like.
Right.
It's an oxymoron, except when you look at what has been happening in this country since 9/11 and the actions from Bush afterwards, setting up merging agencies and setting up the Department of Homeland Security, the Transportation Administration. We have, who was it? I think it is Jackson from Texas introduced a bill about the TSA, amending the TSA. They need more, a broader way to, you know, get mass transportation under the arm and grip of TSA.
Correct.
Also, when going through some of these old articles, one of the more interesting ones I saw today, this was from a couple of years ago, and it talks about climate change skepticism is a sickness that must be treated, says a professor. Another report from beginning of 2012, scientists recommend treatment for climate change denial, as it is a mental illness.
That kind of springs up every 6 months or so.
Okay. Now, they're talking about getting the CDC involved in this, but now how does that compare to the gun actions that Obama took?
And that's a good question, because this might very well somehow, while, for example, the Feinstein bill here might not pass, something could be worked out through the CDC or through the Obamacare itself in the IRS. Okay, so maybe this is what we're missing. You know, people are so confident, and this is not going to pass. Well, okay.
So were they about Obamacare being struck down by the Supreme Court? They were so confident about Romney being elected instead of Obama being reelected. It doesn't matter what we think as a public or the polls, what they say. Only thing that matters is what happens. And Obama made good on his promise to sign executive orders. We saw Andrew Cuomo come out and pass the most draconian gun legislation in New York State, making New York the worst gun control state in the nation.
I still, once again, I'm looking for clarity on that as well.
We have West Point coming out, making a PDF to law enforcement and other military agencies saying, if you are pro-gun, you're an extremist.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, we have our military saying that.
Well,
elements of the military leaders saying that.
It's, you know, West Point, of course, the New York State, the military school. But it's kind of like the Berkeley of the U.S. military, I suppose, would be West Point. But all right. But I just want to keep everyone to keep their eyes on this, what's going on with this Feinstein bill and what's maybe going on around it. Because, again, there's still something not right here. And then the other thing, too, we've been doing a lot of research about the Sandy Hook shooting, because if everyone is going to point to, if all the politicians, if all the media, if everyone's going to point to Sandy Hook as the defining moment, as the very moment when the game changer, then the government is going to have to come clean with their investigation. And a full investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're not seeing it. There's too much conflicting information. Now, a lot of people are reporting on these conflicts of information. And the one thing I've noticed, and I truly believe this is taking place. I believe that the pot of information is being intentionally seeded with bad information by people who want us and other people, you know, to take information, run with it as if it's fact, so they can point at us and say, look, We've proven this to be an incorrect thing, and you know, these guys are out there saying it's fact, and it's because of stupid unverified stories and people who purvey these stories, like Doug and Joe Hagman, for example, that we need to not only take away the guns, but we need to curtail the speech. So I think that there's a definite plan and people out there who are polluting the evidence, open source evidence, in the Sandy Hook situation. We have to be very careful.
Yeah, there's a lot of strange things going on with that. And I read up on a few things, people's individual ideas of what's going on. And as I stated earlier, I believe people did die.
I do too.
There are questions as to, you know, a lot of things from the person accused of committing this act to things being ignored, like second people involved, third people involved, to what weapons were used.
Right.
There's too many holes left. There's too many crumbs left. These people who do these operations are much smarter, much more meticulous. They'll plan something like this out for a decade.
Yeah.
And make sure it goes off without, you know, a hitch.
That's very true.
So why so much left behind? Well, is it to keep us in a state of looking for, digging under every rock for every piece of information? Is it to find those people who are going to speak out against the inconsistencies? Is it to demonize the freedom of speech? There could be a lot of agendas behind the scenes working.
Yeah, and see, I don't know. But it goes right along with the pollution of, well, not pollution, but the way, for example, and we're, I'll bring Benghazi into this now, because Hillary Clinton yesterday testified twice, two different hearings for Benghazi.
And I have a short clip of Mr. Rand Paul's.
Okay. Now, before we get into that, I just want to say this. Even at this late hour, even 140 days or 100, I don't know how many days, even at this late date, after 9/11, 2012, the media and even some elected officials are still calling the CIA compound a consulate.
Yeah.
Today, they're still calling it a consulate.
An embassy.
An embassy. Yes, yes. Now, how much... in fact, you know, I look at various message boards. I'm thinking, you know, I've written, I don't know, probably close to 20,000 words on Benghazi. And in every article that I've written, report I've written, I've made sure that the terminology is correct. It's not a consulate. It's not. It's a CIA operations center, which is exactly what it was. But people are still referring to it improperly. And you might say, well, so why? That's really not that big of a deal. It's a huge deal. In addition to that, there was a lot of pressure or a lot of focus put on the ARB, which is the review board, accountability review board by the Department of State, headed by Thomas Pickering. Well, Thomas Pickering is one of the biggest apologists for Iran and one of the very tight with Hillary Clinton. So the ARB, that report, is not going to be, nor would anyone expect it to be, indicting Hillary Clinton or anybody around her as having any type of responsibility for the Benghazi attacks or the cover-up. And in this case, we've got a huge cover-up, and the cover-up is no one, with the exception of perhaps Ron Paul and Ron Johnson, I believe, both senators had even approached the truth with Clinton, Hillary Clinton. And you can access, by the way, the report that I published earlier today at HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. It's also on CanadaFreePress.com. So if you want to read it on HomelandSecurityUS.com and pass it around, and same with Canada Free Press. I know they're the same thing, but we work together, both the CFP and we work together, and we try to get as much coverage as possible a lot of times there are places that will pick up a CFP that won't pick up my site and vice versa. But you can comment on the article at Canada Free Press. It deals with the report or Hillary's testimony yesterday. But I thought, man, I'll tell you, those senators and congressmen need a whole bunch of more chapstick.
It was ridiculous. I was talking with someone on Facebook in the morning asking if I was watching it, and I was up until my friend had two flat tires. I had to go give him a ride, so I had to stop watching it, and then that's where I missed all the good stuff, where she was starting to get angry. But what I saw was a bootlicking fest. Oh, Miss Clinton, we're so great that you could be here to testify today or grace us with your presence. Can we come down and suck on your shoelaces?
Well, she, you know, she had a concussion, and we have four dead Americans. It is characteristically sickening of these senators and congressmen. But if you want to play that clip, this is Ron Paul.
Rand Paul.
Rand Paul. The one clip I wish we had of Johnson is where she kind of lost it. But this is good, too.
I can get that clip. This is a three-minute clip. Rand Paul to Hillary Clinton during the Benghazi. She wasn't testifying. She was just speaking. This was not an inquisition. This was half bootlicking fest, half give me whatever answer comes out of your mouth. There, here it is.
Thank you for appearing, Secretary Clinton, and I'm glad to see your health improving. One of the things that disappointed me most about the original 9/11 was no one was fired. We spent trillions of dollars, but there were a lot of human errors. These are judgment errors, and the people who make judgment errors need to be replaced, fired, and no longer in a position of making these judgment calls. So we have a review board. Review board finds 64 different things that we can change. A lot of them are common sense and should be done, but the question is, it's a failure of leadership that they weren't done in advance, and four lives were cost because of this. I'm glad that you're accepting responsibility. I think that ultimately with your leaving, you accept the culpability for the worst tragedy since 9/11. And I really mean that. Had I been president at the time and I found that you did not read the cables from Benghazi, you did not read the cables from Ambassador Stevens, I would have relieved you of your post. I think it's inexcusable. The thing is that, you know, we can understand that you're not reading every cable. I can understand that maybe you're not aware of the cable from the ambassador in Vienna that asked for $100,000 for an electrical charging station. I can understand that maybe you're not aware that your department spent $100,000 on three comedians who went to India on a promotional tour called Make Chi Not War. But I think you might be able to be aware of the $80 million spent on a consulate in Mashar al-Sharif that will never be built. I think it's inexcusable that you did not know about this and that you did not read these cables. I would think by anybody's estimation, Libya has to have been one of the hottest of hot spots around the world. Not to know of the request for securities really, I think, cost these people their lives. Their lives could have been saved had someone been more available, had someone been aware of these things, more on top of the job. And the thing is I don't suspect you of bad motives. The review board said, well, these people weren't willfully negligent. I don't think you were willfully. I don't suspect your motives of wanting to serve your country, but it was a failure of leadership not to be involved. It was a failure of leadership not to know these things. And so I think it is good that you're accepting responsibility because no one else is. And there is a certain amount of culpability to the worst tragedy since 9/11, and I'm glad you're accepting this. Now, my question is the U.S. involved with any procuring of weapons, transfer of weapons, buying, selling, anyhow transferring weapons to Turkey out of Libya?
To Turkey? I will have to take that question for the record. Nobody's ever raised that with me.
It's been in news reports that ships have been leaving from Libya and that they may have weapons. And what I'd like to know is the annex that was close by, were they involved with procuring, buying, selling, obtaining weapons? And were any of these weapons being transferred to other countries, any countries, Turkey included?
Well, Senator, you'll have to direct that question to the agency that ran the annex. And I will see what information is available. And
you're saying you don't know?
I do not know. I don't have any information on that.
So that's short version.
You guys can find the six-minute clip on YouTube.
Notice what you said. You'll have to direct that question to the other agency, basically. Other agency. So,
right. And the,
okay.
What we heard in there, the question that was very interesting was his question about the weapon shipments.
To Turkey.
Right.
Wow. Gee. Huh. Did we not report weapon shipments to Turkey as a staging area for ultimately for Syria?
Wasn't that the whole purpose of that place?
Yes.
That CIA...
Well, yeah. I mean, that was for Syria. You know, the weapons go up to Turkey, Jordan. But yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, the last person to see Stevens was the Turkey consul general, Turkish consul general. And Stevens is under Clinton's supervision, running the or involved in one of the biggest gun running operations or weapons running operations in the Middle East. And
one of the things she said in there is the lack of funding.
Well,
you know, she blamed Congress for having a lack of funding, and he rattled off a few of the you know, ridiculous things they had done, $100,000 for comedians to come and this and that, but there was a pulling away of security before this incident.
But see, that's all a red herring, because the CIA op center wasn't lacking in security. They didn't want a security presence there because they didn't want to draw attention to what their activities were.
Right, and don't tell me you have a lack of money when you have the printing presses right next door, you know?
And that's true. Plus, folks, remember this as well. The Ansar al-Sharia, the actors that perpetrated 9/11, Ansar al-Sharia and AQIM, the two terror groups that were involved in the actual attack in Benghazi, were also looking for the AQIM prisoners, the Red Crescent, Iranian Red Crescent workers who were being held as prisoners, and some AQIM drug runners as well. And they felt, the attackers felt, that they were being held at the annex and the CIA operation center there in Benghazi. So that's why people went, well, why did this firefight take, you know,
hours?
Well, remember, they're looking for their prison, their people.
The soldiers were using laser pointers to point out the enemy, anticipating that there was going to be air support dropping missiles on these people, exposing themselves as to their positions, receiving gunfire in return, not to be rescued, not to be saved. And what was the excuse given? Well, we don't send our personnel into dangerous situations.
Yeah, that's, well, Panetta saying we don't send our personnel into situations where we don't know exactly, you know, what's going on or what the entire Well, they knew exactly what was going on. They had every inch covered.
Right. And it's not just about Benghazi, because this speaks to a bigger, much bigger picture of what our true people, our true government, our people in power, what they are doing. And they are disregarding things that they could care less about. Human life is one of those things. And they pass the buck every chance they get, no matter what. They get caught with their pants down and a prostitute and blame it on the prostitute and get away with it, it seems.
Or just look up and say, what are you looking at? There's nothing to see here. And you say, well, yeah, you have your pants down. There's a prostitute right there. No, that's not what you're leash. No.
Yeah.
You're seeing things.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll push that lie. And to make you think you're crazy,
yeah.
It's
they continue to target American citizens for being domestic extremists, for believing in God, for believing in the Constitution. We've had numerous examples of Janet Napolitano meeting with all types of different leaders and law enforcement, from state and local officials, not to talk about the problems of radical Islamic extremism or any other real extremist threat, but it's always the right-wing, domestic, violent, extremist freedom lovers that's the agenda that's being pushed. It's not the people who are actually committing the crimes are being targeted. It is the people who want to be safe, want to be free, want to be left alone are being targeted.
That's right.
Why? Because they're not going to go along with the program that's trying to be or being implemented right now before our eyes.
That's right. And I got to tell you, this agenda has been in play for decades, if not an entire generation, maybe even a, well, at least a century. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Ag Report this Thursday, January 24th, 2015 edition. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening and hanging with us. We'll be right back after these messages. Hi, folks. Doug Hagmann here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powell. A lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook. Because without America, there is no free world.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Have you been up to Grandland Firearms yet, up in British Columbia? Have you taken the drive up there? Why not? What? Because you live in Alabama? You can't drive up to British Columbia? Come on. It's a great destination. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about is if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the box on the right where it says Grandland Firearms of British Columbia. Click here. You click there, and it takes you to their website. And I got to tell you, Grandland Firearms, they're a supporter of our program, Carl Grandland, along with his wife, 20 years in business up there in Campbell River, British Columbia, Canada. They've got all kinds of supplies and gear for hunters, including new and used rifles, shotguns, and, of course, many of the same weapons that Dianne Feinstein wants. So I'm going to keep Dianne Feinstein out of British Columbia. But that said, they've got all sorts of different types of rifles and pellet guns, ammunition, reloading supplies, clothing, scopes, you name it, they've got it. All anything a hunter might need, it's up there. So you can either stop in and see him on South Dogwood in Campbell River, British Columbia, just south of South Dogwood Street in Muircroft. Or you can click on the link to GrandlandFirearms.com and have a look around their website. And their website is full of beautiful pictures of scenery up in British Columbia. What a beautiful area, I've got to tell you. And they've got a complete line, like I said, of links to firearms courses. They've got also the book written by Carl. What a great book. Now, I'm not into hunting, but I got to tell you, I like adventure. I like to read adventure. Treed Beyond the River, second edition. Great book. If you have a chance, grab yourself a copy. You won't be sorry. It's got just great pictures, great stories about cougar hunting in Vancouver Island. But folks, like I said, click on the icon, Grandland Firearms of British Columbia. And while you're up looking, perusing through the website, sign the guest book. Tell them Doug and Joe Hagmann sent you.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Hold on to your seat. The Hagman & Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report. This is the 24th day of January 2013. How time flies.
Time went by so fast.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's you know the saying you heard your parents say, boy, the older you get, the faster time goes. Well, it's true, but I think perhaps there's a rip in the fabric of time. No, I'm just kidding. It just seems like January went by really quickly. But folks, if you want to weigh in on anything we're talking about, anything we brought up during the first hour, or anything that you think is important for us to discuss, 661-244-9839. That's 661-244-9839. And once again, we want to thank you very much for being a part of our program. We attempted to address the important issues that sometimes get by the mainstream media, get by the alternative media even, and sometimes we address issues that we like to correct, especially if we see things taking place on the internet that are not necessarily true, that could be hurting the cause of truth in the country today.
And we need unity now more than ever, as we see our nation is divided, our political system divided, our families are divided, and things are getting worse. With that, we're going to go to the phones right now. We got local radio host, our friend, Patriot John from Braveheart Radio. We're going to bring on now. Then we're going to go to Pierre. John, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Good evening, guys. How are you tonight?
Very well, John. Thanks for calling. And folks, you're listening to one of the co-hosts of Braveheart Radio out of Northwest Pennsylvania. So, what's up, John?
Doug, you were talking right toward the top of the show about with this gun ban bill doomed to failure, why are they pushing it so hard? And I've kind of been thinking about this for a little while, and it's starting to come together. One of the biggest pushes that Obama made in his executive orders, the 23 executive orders, deals with the mental health aspect of this whole thing. And I don't know if Feinstein's bill has anything in it about mental health or not. I have not had a chance to read it yet. But they play together as far as the gun ban plus the mental health aspect. And that's what is really sticking in my head, because over the last, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years maybe, antidepressants, psychotropic drugs, you know, all that stuff, have been basically handed out by doctors and psychiatrists like candy. And I'm just wondering if maybe being on an antidepressant for whatever reason might be a disqualifier for gun ownership.
Yeah, well, okay.
That's what it's looking like, you would think.
All right, let's say that there is some sort of interfacing between medical records and gun ownership records. All right, now this is something that Bill Clinton took away with via HIPAA. Clinton himself was responsible for that.
Yeah,
the removal or the separation.
Well, one thing we see though that we have now that we didn't have then is universal health care under Obamacare.
Well, that's
easy. And now that it seems like his executive orders coincide more with the health aspect of gun ownership than what Dianne Feinstein's trying to do, which is limit any gun or make any gun illegal that basically holds a magazine.
Go ahead, John. I'm just trying I understand the concept, but how is creating this DOA bill going to accomplish what you're talking about?
Well, what is Washington famous for besides doing absolutely nothing? Creating distractions. Never mind the right hand wants what the left hand is doing. The right hand, you don't have to worry about that. Nothing to see here. Move along. Meanwhile, nobody's paying attention to the left hand. And Feinstein made a big deal about bringing this bill out today, and she somehow got permission from the D.C. police to have all of these weapons in her under her control, if not her possession. And she paraded them out along with her bill and all of that. It's bread and circuses.
Right.
And one of Obama's 23 points was to remind doctors that they're allowed to ask you about guns in your house. Now, if you go to your doctor because you've got a sore back or you've got a cold, the flu, whatever, you go to him or her for everything. Everything general medicine, and
right.
They're going to know, obviously, if you are, if they have prescribed you antidepressants. Even if they didn't, they're going to know your history because of consultations with maybe another doctor that did prescribe you those antidepressants. Now they're asking about having guns in the house. You see where this
right.
is going?
Oh, yeah. And even my DHS source had made the offhanded comment, have you been to the doctor lately? He's asked him. He or she would be or will be asking about gun ownership, and sure enough, that did come to pass and has come to pass. But I can see how this would tie together, how this would be enforced. I guess, back to my original question is, maybe you just answered it because maybe they could put this under some sort of health and human services. Mandate.
Well, he also enlisted the CDC to do some study or other. I don't know what the CDC has anything to do with guns or gun violence, other than the mental health aspect. There it is again.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, what they're doing is trying to, we see them labeling in that West Point, PDF, as well as many other Department of Homeland Security publications, people who stand up for anti-abortion rights, people who don't like centralized federal authority, people that are against the Federal Reserve, people who are against the UN and their agenda to implement their one world government.
Let me back up. People who are pro-life.
Pro-life.
Right.
Now we are seeing them target people who don't like climate change or the idea we're living under global warming where the planet's going to heat up and all the ice is going to melt next year. That is a mental illness. They are moving toward making Christianity a mental illness, and this plays into a bigger agenda.
On that note about global warming and climate change, does anybody have Al Gore's number? Because I'd like to call him and have him come shovel his 2 feet of global warming out of my driveway.
Yeah, I got it in my Rolodex, except the Rolodex is my office, and we talk frequently. I'll let him know that you're not pleased and you need.
But
yeah.
Anyway, back. Sorry for the little aside there. another thing too is Mike Adams did an article a month or two ago about how the next psychiatry Bible, as it's called, is coming out and saying that everything is a mental illness. You know what I'm referring to?
Yes. Yes. There's like a, it'd be like a Black's Law dictionary for mental health issues. Yeah, it's standard issuance every a couple of years comes out.
Something like that, yeah. And yeah. It's just maybe a lot of loose, disorganized dots, but if you start drawing lines between them, it's starting to form a pretty definite picture, in my mind anyway. It's all about mental health, and, you know, no longer is it going to be, if you've ever been adjudicated mentally defective, in our state, it's a 302 committal, you know that.
Right.
That was the one mental health disqualifier for owning a firearm, if you've ever been involuntarily committed. Now, like I said, everything is a mental illness. They're handing out antidepressants like candy, and your doctor is being reminded that it's okay to ask about guns in your house. It doesn't form a very good picture.
Well, they can ask. You don't have to answer.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you know what? Perhaps under the legislation of this Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, maybe you'll be compelled to answer, or you'll lose the ability to be. You won't have the ability to be treated or whatever. I don't know. It's such a crazy time.
We're going to have to break away from their system anyway at some point. And it is getting closer and closer as they continue to do what they're doing, carrying out their evil agenda. We have to remove ourselves from that in any and every way we possibly can.
Yep.
We don't follow man's law. We follow God's law.
Exactly.
Great.
So, well, John, anyway, that was my little pet theory.
Okay, all right. I'm going to kind of keep that in the back of my mind here. We definitely know that there's a direct connection to the mental health and to the Affordable Health Care Act and HHS, and we know that the plans are pretty nefarious. We just don't know how exactly the mechanics are going to work on this yet. But John, God bless you, man. Thank you very much, and
God bless, guys.
We'll hear you.
Thanks for
on Saturday.
Thanks for bringing me up.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you.
And Joe, I want to tell you this. I don't know whether you heard about this. New York Police Department is testing a New York City PD is testing a device to scan New Yorkers for guns. Did you?
We talked about this yesterday before the show briefly, and we didn't have a chance to cover it. So, they are. Not only have they done this with the new technology, they unleashed this to private cars about, I don't know, 6-7 months ago. I remember talking about it. Up to 12 to 20 feet, they'll be able to have like a little portable X-ray scanner. But now they are coming out even more and creating these pretty much stationary scanners as people walk by, and they can be scanned. And if you have a weapon on you, they can see it. It is like a TSA grope or a TSA naked body scanner, only portable. And also, for those of you who know that the stop and frisk policy for no reason, the NYPD was blocked temporarily. Now it has been put back to temporarily being resumed, the stop and frisk policy. A federal judge let the New York Police Department on Thursday temporarily resume stop and frisk stops, even though she believes that they're unconstitutional. And she does so saying she's going to decide what permanent remedies are necessary to prevent illegal stops of thousands of privately owned buildings. This is U.S. District Judge Sharia Shalendon in Manhattan. She lifted an immediate implementation of the order she issued earlier this month concerning a program aimed at decreasing city's crime. The judge earlier this month found that the city acted unconstitutionally in making trespass stops without reasonable suspicion at more than 3,000 Bronx buildings participating in the program. Finding that the city is challenging the federal appeals court, the judge said she needed the appeal will be mooted by her own lifting of the ban. But she does believe it's unconstitutional, and she's trying to find a way to stop it. But in the meantime, thousands of people are being stopped by New York City. I mean, if you go to New York City, you're walking down the street, you can be taken by police without any reason, without any suspicion, without any probable cause, and basically be treated like you're at an airport.
Yeah.
It's illegal. And these people...
it's unconstitutional. It's definitely is. Well, now they also throw into the bag here this portable device that's able to... It could be placed on a police vehicle, or it could be stationed on a street corner. And it sends out radiation, a type of...
it's an X-ray machine, X-ray machine.
Yeah, it's a type of radiation. I don't want to make it sound like it's something that, you know... It reads tetrahertz or terahertz, I believe. Anyway, it can show whether a person is carrying a weapon underneath their clothing. And Ray Kelly, I think, had shown some photographs or some images that one of the devices used, and it shows a New York City undercover officer, I believe, clad in New York Jets jersey and jeans, and you can clearly see the shape of a gun underneath his clothing. So, you know, where does this fall in? Where's the constitutionality in this thing?
There is no constitution anymore. There is no rule of law as we know it,
right?
Or at least as we were all under at one time. There is a new rule of law. It's talked about through different administrations, and their rule of law is the New World Order, the One World Agenda. And John Kerry, who is going to be confirmed as the next Secretary of State, stated he is going to help Obama implement his vision for the world. He's also backing the United States' entry into a pro-abortion United Nations treaty. Secretary of State, if confirmed, John Kerry will be the next Secretary of State. He would support making the United States a party to the United Nations Convention that has been repeatedly used to advocate for abortions, oppose restrictions, and support government funding access across the globe. The treaty, UN Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, was signed by Jimmy Carter in 1980, was never ratified by the Senate. So just a little bit of what you're going to have to look forward to here the chess pieces are being put in place in the government. And we got another call we're going to go to, Pierre. Pierre, you're on the Hagman and Hagman Report. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Very well.
Hey, good to hear that you're well, Doug. Flu? Yeah, I know how that rolls. That's a very bad thing.
Wow, hey, like I said, I was seeing monkeys, man. I was, you know.
Yeah, you saw monkeys. That was kind of laughing fact. You had a visual of seeing you seeing monkeys on a wall. It's pretty funny. But
let me tell you, it's terrible. But well, speaking to your megaphone there, you sound a little bit like you're far away. So
can you guys hear me now? Can you hear me clear?
There, much better. Much better, man.
All right.
Got to get you out of the recliner.
Yeah, well, something like that. Now I'm at the desk. Hey, guys, you know what's on my mind is several things that's been going on. I just recently discovered on the news, but your son had mentioned it, I believe, yesterday. I only caught half the show, but Obama shutting down the Southern Radar net along our southern regions. And, I mean, that's permanent closure. That's not a temporary thing. Not a temporary thing at all. And, yeah, and that threat is looking pretty bad. I mean, I can only imagine what's going to be coming out of that. And no one's raging about this. No one's saying anything because it's not registering in people's heads. And it goes back to when I was telling you guys some calls ago about smoke and mirrors, and this is now just another aspect of it, but this is a more potentially lethal version of deflections and diversions. I mean, we're all trying to home in on what's going on, what if there is going to be a false flag, what's going to happen, and now we got this. And then I heard there's something else about airdrop controllers being phased out or something like that too as well. I don't have the story for that part, but I have heard it at least through two different sources on that in terms of air traffic controllers. And I find that to be in direct relation to the shutting down of the radar net. Anything low-flying can come through, cruise missiles, nukes, enemy drones, drug planes for arms planes, you know, for the gun runners, or even worse, it makes it easier now for the skin trade, which is the child trafficking, human traffickers.
And think about this. This is something I thought of when I saw this. What if there are those in the military, those working in these defense systems that would see or hear an order of a drone strike ordered on an American citizen on an American soil that would shoot down that drone? Well, that protection's gone also.
True.
Aside from all the other threats that are coming, that could be coming.
True. That's a very scary notion in terms of the implications of that. And it makes me go back to, like, that story that Steve Quill talked about, Henry Gruber and his vision. And if you can't see what's coming. I mean, it's one thing if you see the nuke coming or the incoming missile, maybe you have a chance to shoot it down. But in this case, you don't have a chance because there's nothing to cover that. You know, I might have what visual confirmation, and even then, you know, you're kind of screwed. Then you're talking about a ground invasion. And I remember I mentioned about the, even, not only I mentioned it, but the source was, oh my goodness, I can't remember his name to save my life. He was a gentleman who runs his own website, and he talked about PLA bases, People Liberation Army bases of China being built or have been built and fully stocked and supplied throughout northern Mexico and parts of southern Mexico. And then there's even reports of even Chinese troops being spotted out there to some degree or another. Talk about an invasion corridor that's open. Now you got your air, no one can see anything coming in through the air, and no one's going to be able to stop them on the ground. It'll be too late before anyone realizes that. Alexander Bachman. Thanks, Steve, in Babylon in the chat room. It's Alexander Bachman. Alexander Bachman.
Okay.
I remember that. That's an issue. And we need to be speaking up on this because it's another thing that our Second Amendment's getting attacked. This is just another aspect of it when you really think about it, because the pacification force can roll right through the border regions. Doug, nothing can stop them. And if they're a PLA, they're highly motivated, well-trained, ready to do what they got to do. And folks, they have no reservations about dealing with you. None. None.
That's very true.
It's something we need to not only think about, Doug, but the question is, at least in my mind's eye, how are we going to get people to wake up to this for real? Do we have to wait until they're literally there, coming over the like how it was with that last Roman emperor saw the Visigoths come over the seventh hill and he knew it was over? I mean, that was it.
Yeah, you're going to have people in Phoenix seeing the dust clouds to their south and, 2 billion screaming Chinamen coming across the border.
Unfortunately,
that'll wake them up.
For the majority of the population out there just going along to get along, you know, working, just watching the regular news, regurgitating things they hear on the news, it's going to take that, you know, the breakdown of their door and the taking away of their family until they understand, oh, wait, I should have listened to these people, or I should have done this or that. That's going to be their downfall. I mean, they won't see the warning signs before it comes, no matter how loud the people scream.
You know, it sounds, the border regions, the border states, if they band together and they try to stop this, it'll be almost like how the Fulda Gap was during the Cold War. And the Fulda Gap was an area where we had one of our armored cavalry regiments designed to act as literally physical speed bumps against a potential Soviet invasion of Western Europe. And that speed bump would hold out as long as it can so reinforcements could come up and back them up and put an end to this. But you see, in this case, there won't be any backup because everyone's going to be too busy fighting each other. You talk about divisions. This country has never been more divided. And it really makes me wonder, are we going to be 50 states much longer at the rate that we're going? It really does. To that end, I'm going to jump. Go on.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
To that end, I was going to go jump to the other subject. But see, folks, there's a chain of events, at least that I'm connecting here, that I'm seeing is playing out, and it's all smoke and mirrors. But it's real, and people are going to die during these little smoke and mirrors before the real event happens. And the other thing is now we got, obviously, China and Japan ready to duke it out. And I mean, they're ready. Chinese surveillance vessels are scattered throughout that disputed island region, looking not for the Japanese Navy. They're not looking for the Japanese Air Force or any of that stuff. They're looking for us. Because they know once this thing goes down, the U.S. Navy is coming, and China has made it point-blank clear, we're going to sink your Navy if you guys come into this. And to prove the point, they have amassed a large quantity of conventional surface-to-surface missiles, both on mobile platforms and from land-based and obviously, you know, air-launched platforms to take our vessels on. And anyone in the Navy who's on a surface ship knows you only have seconds to react to whatever is coming. You could fire maybe, based on what I understood from them, they could probably fire 3 or 4 missiles per target. No ship has enough countermeasures to take that much ordnance, you know, that much incoming. I mean, you can see where I'm going with this, how bad that's going
right.
to be. And then this also plays into another issue of the Marines. Well, what does the Marine Corps have to do with any of this? Well, think about it, folks. What did Obama do just last year? He had Camp Darwin built in the Northern Territory of Australia. So you got to figure it must be well up there to a division of Marines ready to go at a moment's notice. And they wind up getting into the fray. You talk about the elements of World War III being in place. And, I mean, it's right there, Doug. It's right there. And at the same time, and it's not coincidental, brother, we got a potential revolution ready to kick off here in the mainland. No one's going to be paying attention to anything because all this stuff is going on at the same time. And this is where I would like to think that people will understand about the enemy, the Luciferians, will have whatever names they go under the New World Order. This is not going to be an easy enemy to fight, not in the slightest, because they're like a hydra. They always have multiple heads. You got to find the body and deal with the body. You deal with the body, then the heads will fall. And I guess it really all comes down to is when are the people going to say enough is enough? Well, you know, I've been asking that for a while, being on your show from time to time, you know, guests calling in. And I think we got an answer to that, too. On the flip side of things, on a positive, are you guys aware that the state of Utah's sheriffs throughout the various counties have banded together, sent a letter off to President Obama and told him pretty much go piss off, and if you do anything, it's going to get lethal? When have you heard any such thing like that? I find it to be a very positive move. I really do. I mean, I know it sounds bloody, guys, but hey, it's positive.
If they're sincere, I mean,
I
hope they are sincere, but I don't trust people who just say that, you know, they'll do this. Hopefully the federal government doesn't go in there, and hopefully they don't have to find out the hard way if they're telling the truth.
No, I think the Utah sheriffs are very sincere, and I don't know, folks, if you can hear, can you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
I don't know what that is.
That's not me.
It's almost like we're getting zapped here.
It just got louder.
I don't know what's going on here, folks. But
that's not from my end, guys. But that would be. I would say that, like I told you guys from the get-go, when I was even chatting in the room months ago, that, my friends, is the National Security Agency, and they're letting you know that they're listening and they're not liking what they're hearing.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
think about the content that we talk about. I mean, I'm not trying to deflect from that at all. And guys and girls in chat room, don't think I'm trying to sound cowardice. but it's letting you know just how, what's the word I'm looking for? We're touching a nerve.
Well,
and if you can touch a nerve,
yes,
and if you can touch the nerve of the enemy, yeah, you may have got their attention, but you also made them realize one thing. We, too, are a force to be contended with because the people will not stand for this tyranny. They've been ramping it up, and now comes the point where you pushed everyone in the corner. Now the pushback is happening. And it didn't get any more in your face than when you have law enforcement agencies like the sheriff's offices, not only just in Utah, but across the country, Doug and Joe, saying, we're not going to tolerate this. Now, will they actually back this up, like you said? Well, we're going to see. But I tell you what, Joe, if they do, that'll be the shot heard around the world.
You know, I think writing a letter, look, I think writing a letter like that, it takes a lot of guts, really, when it comes down to it, to say, okay, we will not tolerate this. And see, the sheriffs are really the first and last lines of defense for the average American citizen.
They are, because that's their mandate.
So, right. So knowing this and drawing the line in the sand as they have in other places, or in a couple of places in Oregon, I believe, and other states as well. Look, I'm in favor of this and telling the feds to take a hike, because we're not going to carry out any unconstitutional orders. So you're right. That is a favorable thing. That's a good thing. What are these people thinking? Seriously, what are they thinking? Do they think that this would end well? A confiscation or a ban or a mandatory registration?
No.
Do they think this is going to end well?
No.
I think,
go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to agree with Joe that no, but they didn't. But I'm also going to go on this take too. They could not have done any of this without going through think tanks. They had to go through multiple think tanks to probably figure out what's the probability of the American population currently and their state of mind or conditioning, what they resist. And I bet you there was probably a probability factor and or rating that said it would be low. It didn't turn out that way. And he probably laid some heavy bets on that low outcome. Well, now here it is, the high outcome. And now they're getting ready to do whatever it takes is necessary to ensure that they get the job done. And to add on to that, guys, you got to ask yourself a larger question. You know how you always said, Doug, to follow the money trail? Well, that respect, ask this question. Who are these guys really doing this for? And there's only one country I could think of that's really pulling the strings on this, for real. And I'm thinking it has to be China. Why? Because of the debt. They own a lot of, I guess, land and other issues out here in America. They own our movie theaters. They consider Barack Obama a monkey man, not as a racist term, but as in the Chinese philosophy, people, just to break it down for you in short, a monkey man is a person that is easily manipulated, because if you look at monkeys at circuses or whatever, they do whatever you want them to do by training. They could be manipulated. Hence, they see him doing this. Someone here put Israel in there. Israel, maybe so, maybe no. All I can say about Israel is they got issues of their own. I don't see why Israel would really want to have a hand in this, but if they do, they're going to be held answerable and accountable to the Lord on that, because it makes no sense why the Lord's people would want to do this to us. But then again, hey, you have infernal elements in every government, right? You have crookedness in every government. It just happens to be certain powers that be that are running a show give the country and its people a very bad perception around the world. Look what happened to us 20 years ago, and look at now 20 years now. We were the good guys. Everyone liked us. People wanted to come here. They wanted to have the American way of life. They wanted to get the dream. Now, people want to get the hell out of the country, pardon my French. They're scared, and we are now public enemy number one. what went wrong.
Well,
and it's because we turned a blind eye, and we didn't have, we weren't vigilant enough. And that's just the bottom line. We weren't vigilant enough, Doug. We weren't. I'm not going to lie. We weren't. But now that we know,
yeah.
It's coming down to blows. It's going to come down to these blows. But I'd rather it be a war of words and legislation than to see this thing go locked and loaded. And unfortunately, given how what we've been seeing lately, guys, this is going to go locked and loaded. It kind of makes sense.
Well, Peter, yeah, it does. But let me ask you a question. We know that Feinstein, we have good reason to believe that Feinstein's bill is not going to see the light of day. It's not going to pass, and it's at least not in its current form.
No, it will be modified.
I don't even know if it could be salvaged through modification. So why did she? Does she know something we don't know to bring the scope?
I would say yes. I would say yes, Doug. I'm sorry, because you and I are so galvanized that we're going over each other. Don't mean to be disrespectful to you, brother, but this is why I say, yes, she knows something we don't know. Think about this, people. Everyone think about this. She's a career politician. She's old. She isn't going to go anywhere beyond the Senate. She wants to leave a lasting mark, an impression, her legacy. Not only in the state of California where she's from, but across the continent of the United States. Okay? She is one of two of the biggest proponents in the Senate, next to Barbara Boxer, that is anti-gun. For years, for two decades or more, the UN has been trying to have us disarm subtly in different ways. It's part of their master plan. They never found a way to really get around to that. Now look what's happening. Our youth have been killed. Banks have been robbed. We're talking North Hollywood, all the way from Columbine to Sandy Hook. And there's still going to be more to come, no doubt. Maybe one, maybe two more.
Oh, yeah.
But they need their spokesperson for this. Their spokesperson isn't Barack Hussein Obama. It isn't Joe Biden. It isn't Hillary Rodham Clinton. It's Dianne Feinstein. And she knows this is either going to make her or break her. So she put all her chips on the table doing this. She knows. She knows exactly what she's doing. It's a gamble. It's a calculated risk. It's the crazy stratagem of the no-win scenario. She thinks she's going to do this all. She thinks she's going to get it. And yeah, you know what? She's got a lot of backing right now. She's got a lot of backing. But there's no one that says that just because she wrote that list out and stated such and such and such and such a firearms are going to be illegal and this and this and this and this are going to be banned, that it's going to pass. There's a thing called hubris, which is the Latin translation for excessive pride. That woman is so full of it. And pride always flew up before the fall, if I remember correctly on such things. Yeah, she knows what's going on. Her masters are pulling her strings and they're telling her, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. This isn't just an independent move, guys. This is coercion from a whole nother level. Now, do I know something that other people don't know? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I don't have any evidence in front of me. I have a reason to lie to any of you. And if any of you doubt the sincerity of my words, pray to the Lord, ask for discernment on what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying is I'm getting this off of instinct and prayer myself. I think in my heart of hearts, and I also think logically, because I have to use both. I can't just go off emotion on things, but I can't always be Johnny Rationale either. But I do believe that someone is pulling the strings on Dianne Feinstein so hard, and they're cranking her so hard. She got that one moment that she needed, which was Sandy Hook. If this thing doesn't pass, if this thing doesn't make it to the way she wants it to be made, she's done. She's done. And then that means they have to go back to the drawing board. And if they got to go back to the drawing board, that's going to cause them to ramp up something else, perhaps another major false flag. Where plan A fails, they're going to go to the drastic plan of B. Plan A is always the peaceful approach. Plan B is always the violent. We gave you a chance. Now we're going to hurt you. Does that kind of make sense?
Well, yeah, it makes sense. I just don't know.
And we know the contingency plans upon contingency plans. You know, in my opinion, if they could, they'd have us fighting each other, like pulling out an economic collapse at the same time, stopping the welfare system and having people fighting each other for basic necessities, in my opinion.
If
the people could get past that and were good people and all the neighbors helped each other and stepped in and society was polite and kind, you know, things wouldn't go their way they want to, we could unite. But I don't see that happening because of the carnal nature of the people, the unbelievers. These people are so, one of the greatest videos showing this is called The Madness of a Lost Society, where it shows people trampling over each other on Black Friday, for things on sale. At the same time, the nation's economy is imploding, and they're asking the question, do any of these people have any, hard assets? Do they understand what the Federal Reserve is? Do they understand the mechanisms which are going to be their downfall?
Actually, the larger question, I think, to add right on that, Joe, I think just the biggest of all questions, do they care?
Right. Well, they're going to
care,
when they're hungry. I'll tell you that. When all the handouts are taken away from the people, whether the people really do need them or not, it's going to matter then, and they're going to care then, and then they're going to care about what you have, what you've built, what about your garden, and that's where things can get ugly.
And I definitely understand, and that's why it's really, really, really important for everyone, like I said, to get yourself spiritually straight.
Right.
Everyone has said this. Every guest that has been on here has said this to one degree or another. You two being the proctor hosts of your show have said the same thing as well. Get yourselves spiritually set, folks, because the way this drama is going to play out, it's going to be beyond anything we could comprehend. They know what they're going to do. They're going to execute their plans. They've already calculated roughly, I say roughly, not accurately, but roughly, what our responses are going to be. How you conduct yourselves when this thing goes down is going to make all the difference between life and death, incarceration, or freedom. To that end, keep yourselves as educated as possible on an independent level. Read the good book. Seek out the word of the Lord. Seek him, and he will reveal himself to you. And it's through that revelation that you'll know what you need to do when the time comes. Because we're going to probably all have to step on the sidelines, guys, and let everyone else duke it out. And then we, as what's left of part of the remnant, and I have to believe this remnant is a worldwide group, not just us here in America, but whoever's left in the remnant is going to have to either rebuild or we're going to have to be on the move. Because I don't want to be here, to be real with you, fighting off an invasion of over 2 million people, armed soldiers crossing the borders, killing everything they see. And I don't have the assets to take them on. I don't have the material to take them on. And as a Marine, that's a tough thing for me to say because I have to swallow my pride on this. I don't like that notion. I don't like the notion of leaving anyone behind. But that's going to come.
Yeah.
It's going to come. You guys are going to have to go mobile. You and your father, your family, you're going to have to go mobile. You guys are going to probably wind up being the new voice of America. Trust me. Talk about the resistance. We're going to be on the run and we're going to be shooting and scooting until we can consolidate and then get ready to take business on with them. Because when this thing goes down, folks, it's going to come down to a matter of numbers. Bottom line, it's going to come down to a matter of numbers. But between now and then, get yourselves right. Be cool. Get what you need to get. Don't transmit all the stuff that you're getting. Do no sales and advertising. Leave no footprints. And, keep your nose clean, keep your eyes open, and your ears clear. And I think you'll all get out of this at some point. Unscathed. For those of you who are going to make your stand and fight, I wish you all the best. You must remember, we're talking modern warfare here, not 1776. Modern warfare. Let that sink in for a moment. Guys, I'm not going to take up any more of your time. I know you have other people that want to call in. Blessings to you, to the both of you and your families, and to everyone in the chat room and everyone who's hearing my voice. I hope that we all get blessed with another day to be on the air and hear what's going on and reveal the truth and fight back as best we can. That's all I got to say.
All right, my friend. God bless you, man. Thanks.
Take care,
guys.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Yeah, we got some callers lined up here. We're going to take your calls, 661-244-9839 for the rest of the show. We're going to go to area code 917 next. And I just want to say this quick piece of news before I forget it. Fukushima fish has 2,500 times the radiation limit found from 2 years after the nuclear disaster. That being reported by the Huffington Post just 2 days ago.
We're not being told the truth about any of that stuff.
Right. 917, you're on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
Very well. What's on your mind tonight?
A couple things. After I'm done making a couple points, I thought I had actually two specific questions just for you. First thing with this Benghazi hearing and Hillary's testimony, you know, her husband gets impeached for lying under oath for leaving stains on a dress, and yet these people can lie about American lives being taken, and there are no consequences, and that is just typical of this regime that I've noticed for 4 years and a week, not even. I don't know if you guys agree with me or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, what we're seeing is the erosion of morality, the erosion of ethics, all ethics, and
that's what's led to these people being able to carry out what they're doing and at the level they're doing it at and the pace they're doing it.
Yeah, and in Tuller, you see, it's okay because Bill Clinton lied about, he lied about having sex. So that's really okay. It's, you know, because being a boys will be boys. He was impeached for lying, by the way, not for having sex. But see, that's
right,
okay. Right, and then you know, gradually we go down the road, and more things are acceptable and gradually accepted. And so the you know, and then it's okay, you know, the fact that Obama doesn't have his papers in order. Well, that's a distraction.
You're racist. Well, ask that question.
Or yeah, you know, even if you're on the conservative side, well, that's really not an issue. No, it is an issue. So you accept that
because the government-funded media doesn't make it an issue as it should be, like they did the Clinton thing, like they did previous, you know, scandals, the Watergate, et cetera. Those anymore don't matter. Nothing matters.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Carr. I agree with you.
You know, it makes me think. Was Bill really, you know, was he really impeached for the reasons we believe, or is there something deeper going on that we just missed? Because Hillary lied. I mean, I'm not Secretary of State. I'm a normal citizen, and I could have answered the questions that Rand Paul asked her. How does she not know? And I know.
Well, she knows.
I mean,
Yeah. You're right, and I think the bigger thing that we have to watch is definitely our economy. You know, I don't know for sure that is the thing that is lurking behind the scenes, ready to burst. But if I had to take a guess, that would be my first thing to watch. And there's more headlines about the currency wars today.
So how did you make that jump from what this caller is talking about to currency or to?
People feel this spiritual heaviness. People feel that there is other things being behind the scenes, getting ready to take place. And with all this gun control stuff in the news, and the news focusing on, you know, basically three stories, one being the Sandy Hook coverage, two being the gun issues, and I guess those are the two most important things that I see in the news. there is something going on. I mean, we have Zero Hedge reporting the worst recovery ever. We have other reports that the federal holdings of U.S. government debts hit an all-time high, up 257% under Obama.
Well, right. So, yeah, I mean, the system is about to collapse. There's no doubt about that. We're not going to escape what's coming. So.
Right. Well, that was actually one of my questions, kind of alluding to what Joe said. A couple of days ago, I guess they announced that they're extending the debt limit for 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they reported?
Yes.
Well, it just seems weird to me that for most of the intel that I'm hearing through alternative radio, that's kind of the time frame, you know, whether it's late March or early April, when the hammer is going to be about to it's going to, you know, pretty much drop. And it just seems, you know, kind of like a smoke and mirrors, you know, magician showing you this, doing something with the opposite hand, that they're really waiting for the perfect storm. And, you know, in those 90 days, plus this whole nonsense with the gun control, and I also saw an article on MSNBC about the banks worrying about a cyber attack. And
yeah,
it just seems like they're kind of creating this perfect storm to instill this sort of fear to continue their agenda.
Now, that's important what you said. They are creating this perfect storm.
And
this
fear.
This is an orchestrated takedown of this country. So let's be clear on that, and I'm glad you were clear that this is not something that's just happening by chance. This is something that's being orchestrated.
100%.
So this is good.
It's just a designed explosion.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I listen to Lindsay Williams a lot, and one of the things he talked about was the BRICS nations, you know, stop using our currency as the world reserve currency with their business transactions. And it takes 6 to 8 months for those dollars to circulate and come back home. And when our economy is stuck with billions, if not trillions, of extra money, that's just going to devalue our currency even more. And what a perfect time to bring in, whether it's martial law or a civil war or something, you know, like Pierre was talking about with the defense system in Texas, which the Obama administration is not too fond of since the days of their succession, like Quayle was talking about last night. I mean, I'm just a regular citizen, and if I could see, you know, kind of how things are unhatching, there's got to be something else going on, like just like with the Sandy Hook stuff. They're putting out this stuff on purpose to distract us from what their real agenda really is.
And also from, I think they're distracting us as an article we read earlier this week, from our duties and obligations to the Lord. They're trying to keep us so off balance, so keep our mind on so many other things that aren't important in the grand scheme when we consider the times we're in.
You know, and that West Point article, I mean, that West Point article shocked me. And then on top, I mean, I already knew that stuff from the Homeland Security and DHS document, you know, with constitutionalists, libertarians, Ron Paul supporters, Christians, people who are pro-life. And then when, you know, they had that article, the gentleman was on Alex Jones yesterday, but there was an article today floating around about Obama asking top military officials, you know, kind of a litmus test. I mean,
right.
What the heck is going on?
A litmus test.
That's out in the open like this?
If they'll fire on American citizens, yeah.
I mean,
well,
how could something like that be out in the open and people are still not outraged? I mean, people like us are outraged by it, but the average Joe Schmo, they don't even care.
Right. It's surreal, isn't it, where you can actually look outside and see the commerce or see the people just, you know, but
they're trying to force us to expend our emotional energy on things of this world when we need to be focused on other things with that energy.
But even the practical side of things here, even the worldly things, for crying out loud, it's so difficult to see how people can just not pay attention to this, to the events taking place. It's beyond belief. It really is.
It's like what Steve Quayle said last night about the sheep just interact with the sheep and they don't really pay attention to the shepherd. I mean, that was a pretty profound way of putting society the way it is right now. I mean, you have most of us Christians who see the light and we understand what's going on. There's even people who aren't Christians who see what's going on, but the rest of the sheeple, I mean, they don't understand. They're looking for better areas, and all they're really doing is they're in a journey to get slaughtered.
You're exactly right. Thank you for your call. We're up against the top of the hour break already. You have a great night. God bless you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Time flies.
Yeah, time is going real fast tonight. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We'll be back after a few short minutes and taking your calls for the rest of the show.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have a long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the Brick Pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP Brick Packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
The U.S. has spoken out against North Korea's provocative plans to continue nuclear testing. Dismissing their claims, it relates to sanctions brought about by the United Nations Security Council. The U.S. Special Envoy to North Korea, Glyn Davies, speaking here, outlined the seriousness of continuing with their program. He said,
"It's up to North Korea whether they test or not. This is not something that they can credibly claim is in reaction to steps taken by the international community. We would call on them not to engage in further provocations, and we are joined by the international community in that appeal. Now is not a time to make the situation on the Korean Peninsula any more tense."
Back in December, North Korea successfully launched a long-range rocket launch, the first to put a satellite into orbit, which showed their potential nuclear capability. And South Korea have reported satellite images showing the North is actively working on a third nuclear test site. However, political analysts said they viewed the test as unlikely, at least in the near term. I'm Ann Salter. Thanks for watching. Stay tuned for the very latest news on the North Korea satellite launch with us at ibtimes.co.uk.
Doug Hagman. One guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Folks, hour number three of the Hagman and Hagman Report for this, the 24th day of January 2013. Thanks for hanging with us. Thanks for listening to the program. We hope that each and every night we can offer you a little bit of information, a little bit more than you came with. Let's go back to, oh, by the way, before we go back to the phones, I want to say this. Sunday, a special program Sunday from 9 to midnight. Sunday from 9 to midnight. Pastor David Lankford, very, very well known across the country, very much in demand speaker, evangelist, as well as Steve Quayle, going to be talking about the rapture. And I know that now we're going to be talking about this from a biblical point of view, okay? So just so you know. And I know it's a divisive topic, okay? It's divisive, and people say, oh, well, you know. Look, just join us with an open mind, because, and that's all we ask, is you know, my mind's going to be open, certainly. I'm going to listen to what they've got to say, and, you know, it's whether or not how it affects, you know, my line of thinking, it's an entirely personal decision for you. You have to look at all these as learning opportunities. Even if you believe, and this is not out to insult or to, you know, it's not out to insult anyone or to anyone's mind necessarily to change. It's out to provide information.
We know the Lord comes back for his people.
Well,
the argument lies in when. And I had a good suggestion today, and maybe we can get a hold of Bill Salas to have the other side of this debate on as to when.
Well, I'm not sure. Frankly, I'm not even sure. I think I know where Pastor Lankford and Pastor Lankford are coming from. I don't know if for absolutely 100% certain, but I think I do know. So, yeah, if that's the case, Bill Salas is a great believer in the other the other side, and but just it's a learning process. That's all.
And it shouldn't, you know, really matter. We know that he will come back. He doesn't break his promise. The only thing we need to worry about is that we are stand without blemish when he does return. And he says, for those who are watching, you'll see the signs. But for those who are not watching, he will come as a thief. And really, it could be any time.
Is it going to change your life? I mean, is it going to change the way you live your life?
Or practice your faith.
Exactly. And that's the big thing. I'm not so sure it would. But that's Sunday from 9 to midnight. It's certainly going to be an interesting show. And, again, it's being done with from a point of view of, hey, let's you know, talk about this. And as long as we can keep it on an intellectual level, then it's all good. Now, taking your calls at 661-244-9839. Joe, we'll go back to the phones.
All right, we're going to go to area code 413. Thanks for holding. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, guys. This is Doreen. You guys had a great show last night, and your calls are good tonight. I was just thinking about what you were saying about Joe. You said, it doesn't really matter. I mean, as long as we know where we stand in Christ, we know the ending. And I was thinking about the reason why I called tonight is because I was listening to Rick Wiles today. Seems like the news is just crazy lately. The world is ready to explode. And he had a CIA operative on today named, I think, Chet Nagel. Have you heard of him? All right. And, wow, some of the information that came out in that show today, a different perspective than a lot of the calls that have been coming in tonight, which is good information also, things to think about, the things that we might have to go through in the meantime before Christ returns, Joe. You know, and this man was saying that there are five cells, Iranian cells here in the United States already, 10 men each, so that's 50 men. They're concentrating on our electrical grids, and they haven't done anything. They're sleeper cells, and they're just waiting for the moment. And as far as the southern border, he also said that the Iranians, again, have they're ready to launch into our country through the southern border with biological weapons. And he mentioned smallpox, a smallpox virus. He also mentioned about detonation of, believe it or not, some chlorine plants located in our country. C-H-L-O-R-I-N-E.
And right.
Yeah. So, I mean, Joe, I know I think of this all the time, too. It doesn't matter what happens. They could kill me tomorrow. It doesn't matter what happens. I know where I stand in Christ, you know? But in the meantime, Joe, things could get really, really hard for each and every one of us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of people are already going through, you know, the hard times and seeing what has been taking place in Washington affect what is going on in their personal lives.
This operative was saying that your last caller was mentioning about the cyber attack that's coming in the spring. He also mentioned that, and he said that, you know, if you think about it, if our grids go out, we lose our electric that way, and there, you know, this cyber attack takes place around the same time in the spring, that would definitely be a modus operandi for Obama to put that, to flip the switch on martial law.
Correct. And we're fighting a proxy war right now with Russia, or with Iran, and by extension Russia. So
right. We're
already fighting this proxy war. It's kind of like a spy versus spy, tit for tat type operation. We, for example, we introduced a Stuxnet virus into their nuclear system in Iran, and of course Iran turns around and does something here to our system. You know, the things that we're doing are not going to go unanswered.
Right.
And yes, there are cells here in the United States, Iranian cells, and there are prepositioned WMDs here in this country, weapons of mass destruction, according to the information I've got, that include include biological as well as chemical weapons.
Yeah.
And I want to just mention one other thing, too. I had reported on the sickness aboard a train not too long ago in Canada.
Really?
Okay, there were four people that were sickened. One elderly woman died, and then of course this is right after Christmas, and then the story was, well, it was an outbreak of this virus. Well, folks, think again.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. Okay, that's all I can say right now is think again. There's something different there with that. So, but you're right. You know, so it could very well happen where, the lights could go out, the infrastructure grid attack, lights could go out at the same time. You've got the civil unrest. You've got the economic factors. You've got no electricity. You're not going to get gas out of the ground. You're not going to have food at the grocery stores because it's no gas, basically. And
one way or another, they're going to take us down. It seems like, you know, that their plans are going to follow through one way or another.
Right. Exactly. And you know, now they're saying, yeah, give up your guns now. Really? I don't think so. But
right.
You know. So very
now
good.
They go on to Plan B and Plan C and Plan D, and they're, you know, they realize the resistance here is much too great. This is a gun-carrying country, and I'm sure that they realize that the opposition is pretty strong in terms of giving up the guns, so that's not going to work. So they're going to have to go to Plan B, I guess.
Indeed. Is there anything else on your mind?
Nope.
Great call.
Night.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Rick has the news. There are definitely sleeper cells in this country, Iranian sleeper cells. There are Russian troops in this country that are up to no good, or foreign troops, I should say.
Well, I hope there are as many Christian sleeper cells ready to battle spiritually against, you know, this evil. And I know there's many prayer warriors out there. Steve talked last night about intercessors and the power of prayer and how that affects people, and you, all the people that were praying for you when you were sick, and I got those messages, tell your dad I'm praying for him and your family, and
it works.
It does work. More than people, whatever, you know, not people, but most people really believe the power of your faith, the power of believing in the power of your faith. It
right.
holds weight, and much more weight than we could ever understand in our minds, our human minds.
And but like I said yesterday, I think I was off air maybe. You know, it's amazing sometimes. Picture this: picture the floodwaters on a house, and a husband, wife, and two kids will say on the roof of a house, and a helicopter flies by, and guy yells down, or Coast Guard or whatever yells down, says, "Hey, you need help?" And the guy waves off the helicopter, "Nah, God will save me." And then a boat kind of goes up toward the roof of the house, you know, where the family's trapped. And the Coast Guard says, "Come on in, go on the boat. We're here to save you." The guy says, "Nah, that's all right, God will save us." And pretty soon the water envelops the house and the family drowns. Well, and what's the moral there? Well, yeah, God will save us, but
God will save those who...
He just turned away two things, of course. That was God trying to save you. You know? So,
He'll open the door for you if you ask.
Well,
and you have
you
to,
can't
be able
turn away.
To discern that the door is open for you. I mean, it's not just very cut and dry as people think.
But I understand that. But what I'm saying is you can't wave away help, thinking that there's going to be a miracle that's going to save you when the miracle is that helicopter or that boat ready to pick you up. But that's all I'm saying. It's you recognize it for what it is. But
yeah,
go on.
All right, we're going to go to area code 615. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Joe and Doug.
Yes.
Hello.
That's us. Yep.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Sorry. Hi.
You sound perky.
Guys, this is Dana. How y'all doing tonight?
Good, Dana.
Good. Listen, something that's been on my mind, and I think it's been more from listening to Alex Jones quite a bit, really. The thing that he has really brought to my attention is to pay attention to the words that these people, Obama, the government, these politicians, to pay attention to the words that they're saying. And that's really kind of gotten embedded in my brain, so much so that I am finding myself paying attention to the words now, to the point where I'm starting to feel like I'm thinking conspiracy thoughts, possibly. When Obama signed these executive actions, there were 23 executive actions. So I went to Wikipedia and I looked up what executive action meant. And it actually talks about assassination attempts. It talked about the movie executive action. So I read this and I looked up the word executive order. And I see that there's two different definitions here for both. There's two totally different definitions. And then I noticed 2 days after he signed these executive actions, the guy in Bulgaria with the assassination attempt on him took place. Right there, you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
And he was the leader of a freedom's right convention thing going on there. And I thought, whoa, okay. And then later on, a few days later after that, I see Joe Biden giving his speech in front of Iowa State, something or other, and he does this slip up, grateful to be president or something to that, made himself look like a clown, basically. And the whole room was laughing, you know, and he had the Secret Service guy whisper behind him, of, you know, you're the vice president, hello. So I see this, and then, was it today? I see this other so-called target of assassination of this Venezuela guy, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm putting two to two together here. Is it possible he signed executive actions and everybody's talking about wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. There's going to be a false flag, and your DHS insider had made mention of the very thing of a possible false flag of an assassination attempt on Obama, right?
Right.
And here we're being – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just – no, I just wanted to make clarification there. That was that was implied. I want to be careful of the wording there. Yeah, that's fine. We'll go with that for the sake of discussion. Go ahead.
Well, I'm seeing like a pattern here. Like if this is what we're being awoken to, pay attention. And I'm starting to now see what the whole paying attention is all about. There's a pattern going on here. And I was telling a friend the other day, I watched the inaugural swearing in just because I wondered if possibly, again, thinking like a conspiracy theorist, is it possible he has a staged plan of his assassination? Biden is already letting the cat out of the bag and saying, oh, it's great to be president, and he's just chomping at the bit announcing himself as president. Why? Because he would be. He would be. If the president got assassinated or whatever, then Biden would step up, you know. And,
right.
And so I'm starting to see, and so I'm counting these assassination attempts. That's two so far. I'm going to count these things out. If there turns out to be 23 assassination attempts that we're going to hear about as the days go on, I'm now going to realize it is about pay attention to the wording that they're using. Because even with the whole 9/11 thing, I think some guy, who was it, the guy who does the show The Power Hour, he did the documentary called In Plain Sight. And he had said, he made the comment, how do you go successfully about hiding something? You hide it in plain sight, in plain view.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And it made me think, hey, wait a minute. That's it wouldn't be unlike them not to do that again. You know what I'm saying? Not to put something out there in our face in plain view, and we missed it. You know?
Well, okay.
So I'm just thinking.
But to what end would, for example, you'd mentioned like Obama perhaps. And Obama, if you recall, was talking during the budget, it was New Year's Eve, I believe it was, when he had a press conference, and he said, I'm going to be your president for the next 4 years, I hope, indicating that he's hoping to finish his term. But what would be the benefit of him being, seriously, I mean, him being assassinated? What would be the benefit
to
him?
It's interesting you asked me that question because I studied that today. And just like Dr. Chappie here is saying in the chat room about the head, and this is what I looked for. I specifically am looking for him to be shot in the head, like Kennedy was, okay? Think about this. I mean, I'm really starting to see Lincoln. Okay, so we're likening him to Lincoln. Okay, well, JFK was in a what when he got shot? He was in a Lincoln. Okay, so he gets shot in the head, and again, it's all conspiracy in my head, and he gets shot in the head. He seems as though he's dead. He's gone. Biden steps up, but really, Obama is not really dead. He staged his own death. Would any of us really put that past him? And he still runs the show behind the scenes. Then he comes and he resurrects himself. What the mess? Everybody's, not everybody, but half the nation is lifting this guy up as the Messiah, the second coming, the resurrected one. Would you not think for 1 minute that he is not what's talked about in Revelations, the wound to the head? And how it was healed. And here he comes back. And oh my gosh, he must be the Messiah. He's back from the dead. But but Biden, Michelle, whomever, get to run the show, but he's really the authority behind it. I mean, he's really alive. He's not really dead. He staged the whole thing just to make it to where the guns could be taken, da-da-da-da-da, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm just, the whole thing was staged.
Wow.
I know it sounds way far out there. But now, like I said, Alex Jones has really gotten in my head, and listening to all the rest of you, I'm starting to really become a thinker now. Like, okay, you know, what you guys
it's
really coming true. You guys are not nutcases like you've been labeled by the majority for so many years. What you're doing is you're actually waking the rest of us up to start using our own brains and start thinking, which now we become terrorists because we're thinking for ourselves, even if it looks kooky. And the way that we're thinking, you know what I'm saying?
This is good. Seriously, to discuss this, to me, it gets anything that gets people thinking and talking and wondering and looking at it from different perspectives. There's nothing wrong with that, and because we are pawns in a multi-dimensional chess game, and everything is asymmetrical right now. So I wouldn't chuckle at or dispose of any type of intellectual discourse on subjects like this, you know, because this I think is important to bring out in the open. And the heck with people who say, well, that's just crazy talk. Well, wait a minute. Let's review things before we dismiss things. If we do dismiss things, let's just see what you mentioned something too. This preoccupation with Lincoln really has bothered me a lot. It's almost like an obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Well beyond an interest. Or
the media plays into it and hypes it up. Other people, Valerie Jarrett made comparisons. I mean, there's something wrong with this picture, big time.
Yeah, but that's a very good. You've got me thinking now, huh? Maybe because now I remember the conversation I had with my source, and I've got some other information coming out. I was asked to hold off for the inauguration, which that'll be coming out this weekend. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It got me to connecting pieces of a puzzle, and this is what this is. This is a piece of, we're getting pieces here and there and here and there and here and there, but they do come together, and they will make a whole picture. Eventually, it's going to make a whole picture if we keep looking for the pieces to connect. And I think that's where my brain has been, is just I'm grabbing a piece here. I'm grabbing your source, Rosebud. The things that the guest on Rick Wiles' show, Alex Jones, Steve Quayle, these pieces, grabbing little pieces, and they're all starting to connect and go, oh, is this possible? Because we agree, again, you guys have said it many a times, this is the Bible, this is history repeating itself. If nothing else, and I was saying this to my friend, if we don't just look at the natural aspect of what we see going on here in the natural of history repeating itself, look at the spiritual aspect of this, that this is definitely spiritual history repeating itself. No doubt about that, and Jesus said, who have eyes to see, and those who don't. And this is what it's coming down to. It's coming down to that fine line of who sees, who hears the spirit and who doesn't. Black and white. It's no gray area there, And another thing I wanted to point out, because you had just mentioned this, you just hit on this just a minute ago, this Psalms, we've all been quoting it a lot in the chat room, Psalms 91. And one of the things I found just awesome about God was in Psalms 91, in verse 8, it says, "Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked." Now, I have a study Bible, so it has study notes, and it says here in my study notes that only with your eyes means the righteous are so safe in disaster all around them that they are only spectators. And I thought, whoa.
Wow.
Wow. That's what I said. Wow. You mean I get to just sit back and watch it all happen as the whole house of cards comes down? I'm going to be so under the shadow of the Almighty, hidden in the secret place, that I'm going to be just a spectator, just looking under your protection. Wow. What an awesome God. What an awesome God.
Well,
I mean, if nothing else encourages the saints, be encouraged by that. We're going to be spectators.
Well, or we'll be covered under the, you know, under the protection of God, but maybe not as spectators, maybe as participants, but protected as spectators, perhaps. You know, whatever.
Absolutely. Well, we have a work to do. We are foot soldiers. I mean, there's no doubt about that. There is definitely people that are going to be in so shock and awe and trauma. I think of Dr. Paul Hedstrom when he was on your show and the things that he revealed to us about trauma. And it's actually been one of my heart cries for the church as a whole, the body of Christ, is the trauma and how it will cause them such trauma because they weren't awakened. You know, they're just going around about in their day and whatnot. And when the shock comes on them, when the cards start really coming down, God, you know, we really need to minister to these people. And not abrasively. That just doesn't do any, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to benefit anything. You know, restore such one gently, as the word says, gently. You know, you who are spiritual, you who are awake, you who know these things, you who've been awakening, restore such one gently, you know. But definitely with the truth, definitely with the truth. Not with
exactly.
The pride and the arrogance and all that kind of stuff. But you're right. I mean, I think it's just so cool the way God is, and I'm just so grateful. There is encouragement. We do have a work. We definitely have a work to do. There's no doubt about that. And I'm excited. I'm excited about the assignment, and at the same time, I'm grieved in my spirit for all those who have not come to know the Lord. I really, truly am praying for a lot of people right now. I really believe in the depths of my heart about when Jesus said to pray for mercy so that you yourselves will receive mercy. And I believe that's something we really need to be considering about. Pray for mercy for these people that are not awakened, the people, you know, in the churches and whatnot, just going on about their day because they still think we live in a prosperous nation. If you can get up in the morning and you can get in your car still and drive down the road and get some food at McDonald's and go on to work and get a coffee at Dunkin' Donuts and whatnot, you're still of the mindset that there is nothing wrong going on around you. You still think in the mindset that we are living in a prosperous nation. All's well. All's well. You know, and all's not well. It's an illusion. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much for that call. You've got me thinking now. God bless you. Thanks for that call.
Thank you, guys. God bless you, and I pray for you guys and all the work that you're doing. Take care of yourselves. Doug, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. And Doug, take care of him. God bless you,
God bless
guys.
You.
I love you.
Have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Interesting. There's just, interesting stuff. I don't think it's our position I think it's our jobs, really, to entertain all possibilities. And, you know, let's put everything on the table. And, I mean, we do this as investigators, too. We put everything on the table that we find and leave it on the table until we've discounted whatever it might be. So, very good.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on here. We're going to go to area code 865. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hey, guys.
Hello there.
Hey. All right, well, I'll tell you what I wanted to state, and then I just ran across something that was just very disturbing to me. Tomorrow, when you wake up and you're listening to your local news talk radio, one thing just to awaken those that are still asleep is this simple little statement that because they've now allowed women to go into combat. You simply have to state two simple facts. You obviously have to go at age 18 and register your son with the Selected Service.
Right.
And in my case, in 4 years, do I have to take my daughter and register her with the Selected Service? This is Rob Emanuel's plan. I did that today on my local talk show. There were daddies calling in all over the place stating the same thing. And it's just a simple comment. Daddies, can you stand to go sign up your daughter for war?
For the front combat, or, you know, combat lines.
In case of a draft.
Right. But that catches their attention, and then from there, the one thing I've learned, you've got to give them little tiny incremental bits of information, or you freak them out, and they'll shut you down.
Very true. Yes.
But that's one way to breach the conversation and get in the conversation. And just bring that out. That,
you make a good point. And I'm sure there are a lot of fathers out there who did not, until hearing it, that, you know, put in that perspective, would not have otherwise called or really thought about things. But you're to put my little princess on the front lines of battle. What are you, crazy?
Yeah, I don't think so. To do what? To go steal resources and dehumanize other nations and take over, you know?
With the possibility to capture and, you know, God knows what.
Yeah. And look at the way they're treated in the military as, you know, already just being in other positions.
Right.
It's one thing if your daughter wants to do it, okay? It's another thing to be forced to do it. As I said today, you know, if they have a cheerleading squad in the military, my daughter would be great at it. But I don't think they have a cheerleading squad in the military.
No. We should take the legislative branch, and they should go on the front lines. And also, I posted in chat here, the Obama Christ Church group, you know, they want people to fight for them. Why don't they take some of those people and stick them on the front lines?
But that's a good thing, caller. I mean, too, you're talking about the women in combat, number one, and number two, look what we've done with our military with the gay lesbian agenda there. Don't ask, don't tell stuff.
I'll concur with that, but the second thing that I wanted to bring up, this story just actually broke on Drudge.
Okay.
It comes from the Telegraph. Oddly enough, is it not January the 23rd?
It's the 24th here.
It was 23rd here. All right. It's very cold, is it not?
Wait a minute, man. We've got to address this. I'm not sure.
Yeah, check your computer date or the calendar.
Yeah, you're right. It's the 24th. I apologize. I was looking at something different.
Oh, no,
I apologize.
Okay. I thought maybe we were
wondering what was going on.
Might have a different time zone.
But let me just address this one thing. Is it not cold outside in every part of the United States?
Yeah.
Okay, then why is there a fly on Barack Obama's forehead?
Yeah, I saw that.
It was decided not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. It's the middle of the winter. I live in the South. I don't have any flies. And if I don't have any flies in the South, I can certainly guarantee that there are no flies in D.C.
Yeah,
it's been
real
cold
here. No, it's a huge fly. I mean,
it's
you can
huge
tell.
Huge sucker.
Yeah,
and it likes them. It reminds me of being on the golf course on a hot summer day when I'm sweating. It's in the, you know, and I used to play baseball. The flies would gather around your head when you're all sweaty and you. But
flies like him. I mean, it's how many times have we seen this now? But
four times. Yeah, they've gone it down to four. They have four times on this Telegraph report. But yeah, I mean, that's almost demonic.
It's something, isn't it? Yeah, I mean,
it's like they're, what I know what you're saying, like there's something dead in there that the flies are attracted to, or there's something rotten.
It's something,
it's the
middle
of the winter. Where do the flies come from? I'm beginning to get a better respect for flies because they're trying to obviously point out something to us.
Well, you know what? The way he might take care of the White House, you know, there could be, you know, two-week-old trash laying around gathering, you know.
No. That's a little off there.
How's that off? Look how he treats the country. What do you
could
be
racist.
Going to treat the White House?
Could be racist. No.
Could be dead bodies underneath there, too.
Leftover from Barry's administrations in the past.
Barry and Michelle Obama's organic garden.
Yeah.
And if I offended anybody with that, too bad. Be offended.
Well, I'm going to call Lawrence O'Donnell on you right now. But it's odd. Call her, it's odd, man. I don't know.
I wanted to address someone, Libby, that just called you. She called from Erie Code 615, so she lives in my state. She was talking about the changing of the language. If you want to listen to some simplistic changing of the language, there's one, instead of taxes, it's now called, revenue. And the second thing is when you're listening to your newscast, instead of them saying that you have cloudy skies, they are now calling it filtered skies. And I had the opportunity 2 years ago to have all three meteorologists from my area, and I called them out on that. And I said, well, how come you don't call it cloudy skies anymore? And I said, you know, I'm coming from a chemtrail sort of a situation because I'm watching my skies change right before my very eyes, and you guys are calling it filtered skies, and you're already pre-calling it. How do you know that in advance? Not one of them could tell me why, and they all agreed that they had changed their language to cover up chemtrails.
Wow. Okay.
So listen to your news, listen to your weather report, and listen for the phrase filtered skies.
Filtered
because
skies.
It's out there.
Yeah.
Filtered skies.
Yeah, I'll say this, that they don't report the cloudy chemtrail days. They say they're, you know, we could have a sky full of chemtrails and look on the Weather Channel and it'll say sunny, you know, 100% sunny. Not mostly cloudy, partly cloudy. It'll say it's sunny, but it won't be sunny.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna have to watch for that filter. That's an interesting change of terminology.
Mhm. Yeah, I noticed it about 2 years ago, and I caught them on it. They didn't know what to say to me.
Yeah.
I mean, they really didn't because I caught them out on it. But yeah, anytime that you can catch any of these people, that's one of the first things that, you know, I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but you have to hold your media accountable. It's what I preach all the time, is put your money where your mouth is. If you're going to run your mouth and you're going to put out this propaganda, then you know what? I don't have to go to your advertisers, and I'm going to let your advertisers know that I'm not going to purchase because you continue to advertise with this particular company. It's amazing how effective that can be at a local level. It certainly gets the attention.
Very much at a local level.
With the right amount of people behind the movement,
We've seen that ourselves. That's a good thing.
It's always been said that these big companies work on such small profit margins that if people were to have any kind of meaningful big action against them, they would ruin them very fast.
And if we could do it, you know, across the board, say we decided that we didn't want to, well, Walmart is a big dog all of its own, but if you go after Home Depot, and you say, you know, I'm like a shop here. I tend to have to. You can't make me. If you continue to advertise, you continue to, I mean, all you have to do is look at exactly what happened at Chick-fil-A and the support that Chick-fil-A got.
Yeah, and he did a turnaround, though.
You keep saying that. I just haven't seen the proof. I haven't seen the proof of that caller, so
I'll show it to you after the show.
Well, regardless, that's a good example. The Chick-fil-A, you know, with the support of the customers, it did backfire. So this, very effective policy or procedure tactic, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Very effective. Very good.
All right. Well, you gentlemen have a good night. Thank you.
Well, you too. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
That's very interesting. Filtered skies.
Yeah, and it's something I'll look for. I don't know if you saw this. There's an article up. Is there any truth to rumors of a physical silver shortage? And I found this looking for an article I read earlier where banks have been making purchases. On the 21st of January, a contract was entered between KGHM, Polska, SA, and HSBC Bank, London branch for silver sales in 2013. They bought $532.6 million in silver. Other branches in London in the past 12 months exceeded 10% of the equity of the company, roughly $1,163 million in silver purchases. Coming on top of that news earlier this week, the U.S. Mint had temporarily ran out of silver eagle coins, and that the iShares Silver Trust had added 18.4 million ounces of silver to its holdings, nearly as much as the 20.8 million ounces added during all of 2012. Together, these events have triggered rumors of a looming silver shortage. And they go on to ask, is that so? So I would look into banks making mass purchases of metals. Sometimes they do it to manipulate the price. Sometimes they do it because they know something's up. Just a quick thought before we go to the next call. And with that, we're going to go to 305. You're up next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi. Hello. Hi.
We're here.
Hi. Well, I just thought I would add another. The girl that called before the last one, I think her name was Dana, that was talking about the Lincoln.
Yes.
All the Lincoln stuff, the trivia there or whatever. I noticed one more thing there too with the all the mention of Lincoln that we've had for months and months going on. And then I seen that Lincoln was assassinated 42 days after his swearing in for his second term. And 42 days would be March 3rd. And then I started to think about it. 42 is 6. And then March is the third month and the third day. That's 6. And then 2013 is 6 when you add up the number, so you got 666. And then I started to think about Nathan Leal saying that the portal would open and how it was 11 years, 4 months, and 9 days that Nebuchadnezzar was outside the city of Jerusalem. And I started to think about the caller the other night that called in talking about the painting of Nebuchadnezzar in the Masonic Lodge, George Washington Masonic Lodge, and how it lit up with that particular, I don't know, was it ultraviolet light or whatever that lit up the demonic angels. And I started to think about the inauguration that just happened and how Nathan said the portals would open. And I just thought that was really coincidental with the Nebuchadnezzar connection there. And then the 42 months with the Lincoln and the 42 days with Lincoln and just all of these, so-called coincidences that seem to be going on. And then I started to think about, the United Nations gun treaty, and right after the election, Obama signed on to go into the treaty negotiations that are going to be happening in March with the UN.
Yeah, the Small Arms Treaty.
Yeah, and I really feel as though that's already a done deal anyway. This is just, you know, trimmings that's going on here. And I started to think that, you know, if there was going to be an attack on patriots in the country, that when would they do that? I would, and it just came to me that that it would be April 19th, right after Tax Day. Patriots Day is April 19th, and there's all kinds of weirdness that goes down on that day. We had the Oklahoma City thing, you know, city bombing, and there was Waco, and it's Hitler's birthday, the Queen of England, and...
No, like, I would definitely watch April.
Yeah,
anytime,
it's like it's,
you know,
it's just a very odd time, and it's just it just seems. And then I started to think about, you know, Steve was talking about the harmonics, how everybody's DNA rings a different, you know, rings to a certain harmonic, and I started to think about the Gwen Towers that they built during the Cold War in the country, how the very top of the Gwen Tower is controlled by the government. The rest of it they can use as, like, you know, for cell phone towers and all of that, but the very top is controlled by the government. And
right.
That I'd seen a video on Steve's site a couple of weeks ago from this British intelligence officer, and he said that way back in, you know, after World War II, they were doing experiments with microwaves, and he started to talk about how microwaves can be bounced off the ionosphere, like with HAARP and everything, and they can bounce them down off these Gwen towers, and you know, you can take control over people's minds with that. You know, that microwave technology and everything. And you know how Steve always weaves in with the science fiction movies? I mean, I just feel like I'm sitting in front. Did you ever see that movie, The Wall? Pink Floyd, The Wall? And when Pink's, like, sitting in front of the television, he's flipping through the channels, and it's all these different movies, and it's all this stuff that's happening. It's kind of like that's what's happening now. There's all of these different things coming at us. And it's just a whole conglomeration of things coming from all directions, but yet it all weaves together, okay, in some kind of a strange way. So I started to think about all these different movies, and Steve brought up Logan's Run with Carousel. When your time was up, you were supposed to enter into Carousel, and then you were just evaporated. And so I started to think about the time machine. And remember when he was in the land with the Eloi and the Morlocks, and the Morlocks were down underground, and there was those towers. And when the Morlocks wanted to call people in to be eaten, their calling of the Eloi, they sent out that alarm, and the people were just kind of controlled. They zoned out, and they all started marching towards the doors of the underground towers. I started to think about that being like those Gwen Towers, where you just they take control over your mind with this microwave technology using, you know, however it works.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyway, I'm rambling on. So I'll let other people get online with
right.
me now.
Well,
and just
very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank
very
you.
Okay, love
call.
You. Bye-bye.
Sure.
Bye. And we have some breaking news here. I just want to hit this coming from WorldNet Daily. Sabotage. Key Iranian nuclear facility hit. Apparently there has been an explosion, an underground explosion, deep within Iran's Fordo nuclear facility, has destroyed much of the insulation and trapped about 240 personnel deep underground, according to a former intelligence officer of the Islamic regime. And I'll post that in the chat room. Once again, that's from WorldNet Daily. So, look, keep your eye on that.
Watch for that. You know, things can happen and do happen. We should view everything, though, that happens there with suspicion.
Mm-hmm. As it is in the, you know, center and the last, one of the last countries that is not, you know, will not go along with this new world order system as much as people, you know, don't like the leadership there, and understandably so. But look at Gaddafi, look at Assad. These people wanted their sovereign nations, their resources, to be left to them, not to be
I got to tell you, Iran is not, no.
No, I know. I mean, we know their agenda. They want, you know, Israel not to exist, right. And that's a problem. But wanting them not to exist and actually doing things to see that that happens are a big thing.
Well, I think we've seen just from Benghazi alone and the proxy, the Ansar al-Sharia proxy, that they've got the willingness and ability to take out or to attempt to take out Israel as well as the United States. So.
Yeah, it's just I get very skeptical of any, you know, when they always are trying to, through the media, they're just sending the same message over and over for years and years. How long have we heard that there's going to be war with Iran? It's imminent. It's going to happen. It's not when, or not if, but when. And
well, that's,
we know that it's going to happen.
True.
But just the way that it's fed to us, like, you know, constantly. So that bothers me about that. But they'll get what is coming to them, whatever the Lord decides. He's in control of the nations and the kings of this nation, and whatever happens, happens. And I do feel that they are, that is a big indicator of things spiritually happening. Signs, people are looking for signs of things that are happening and the times we're in. Iran is definitely an indicator.
Israel is God's timepiece.
Yeah,
so we have to remember that. And tied to that is Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, and of course the Confederate of Islamic nations around Iran, or around Israel, that is. So
yeah, we only have a few minutes left in the program. I wanted to touch on this story really quickly. A Washington, D.C. man shot a dog, a pit bull, after it attacked an 11-year-old boy. The 11-year-old boy was being mauled by a pit bull, and the guy came out and shot it. Well, he's being charged,
yeah,
facing gun charges. D.C. or Washington, D.C. is investigating whether a man will face criminal charges for shooting a pit bull that was attacking a child in his neighborhood. We've seen, I know, at least three stories this week where cops have shot dogs. Two of them shot the wrong, or went to the wrong house and killed their dog. I mean, really? You're going to go after a guy who is protecting an innocent child from being mauled by a pit bull just because he used a gun to do it? I mean, what, you want him to go get a crowbar and beat the dog over the head? I just don't understand. It's ridiculous. And this is what it's going to come to. When somebody breaks into your house, this is what they want, and you protect yourself. You're the now the criminal.
Well, it's totally wrong the way things are playing out like this. And hey, you know, bag of lime and a shovel. Sorry, and I say that tongue in cheek, of course. But you know, you're going to have to, just because something is illegal does not make it immoral or unjust.
Right. When the laws go against the laws of God.
But, I mean, just because something is legal, on the other hand, doesn't make it moral or just either. So, you know, I mean, abortions are legal as much as I...
According to man.
According to man, right. So is that against God? Well, of course it is. So, I mean, at some point, though, folks, you're going to have to make some decisions. If they would classify certain guns as, or all guns, we'll say, as, hey, you can't have them. You're going to have to make a decision.
And those decisions should come through prayer and discernment.
Yeah. Well, yes, of course. But you know, you've got, in addition to that, you've got to think practically and put your faith in God as well. So, All right. That said,
thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. The show went by so fast. It's been a wonderful night. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time, Friday, tomorrow's Friday show. And then Sunday, Pastor Langford and Steve Quayle.
That'll be at 9 o'clock.
Rapture, yeah, 9 o'clock. So stay tuned. We will be lining up some guests for next week and making those announcements. And also we're going to try and get some things done via YouTube this weekend. If we have the time to get those done.
If we can stay upright.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, have a good night. God bless and take care.
Good night, everyone.